Even after 32 shampoos, I love how my color stays pure. How? New Everpure. L'Oreal's first shampoo, free of harsh sulfates and salt. Everpure guarantees this. Rich lather so pure, it respects every strand. L'Oreal's new Everpure.
Been 50 swine flu cases confirmed by health officials in the U.S. Most of them have been mild. We begin our coverage this morning in London, where CBS News reporter Vicky Barker is standing by live with more on the WHO action.
Phase 4 alert means the virus isn't simply migrating from animals to a few isolated humans. Humans are now spreading it too.
We've already said that this is a virus with pandemic potential. We are now seeing some of this potential given the community-level transmission.
WHO spokesman Gregory Hartl, with many cases mild and responding to medication, but with new outbreaks reported daily, the balance could tip either way.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. The federal focus is on stopping the spread of swine flu, but there are major limits.
Closing the border wouldn't actually help us keep out disease at this level.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano told the CBS News Early Show border agents are watching for people with symptoms of the disease.
If someone is coming in and they are suspected of having the swine flu, they are moved to or can be moved to a secondary inspection and put in an isolated room.
And the government continues to warn against non-essential travel to Mexico, where CBS News reporter Adrian Bard has the latest on the health emergency.
Certainly Mexico hasn't turned the corner yet, but there was a tiny piece of good news as the health minister announced fewer people died from the flu on Monday than on the previous 2 days. Health Minister Jose Angel Cordoba also announced the arrival of a new rapid test. That means they're going to be able to determine who really has the virus and treat them more quickly.
This is Steve Futterman. Here at the U.S.-Mexico border, the busiest border crossing in the world, the swine flu scare is having an impact. Border agents are checking to see if anyone entering the U.S. has swine flu symptoms. If people are showing symptoms, they are sent to a secondary checkpoint where they must be examined by a healthcare professional.
I'm Pete Combs in Atlanta. Aviation consultant Mike Boyd says the swine flu scare already has the airlines just sick.
We may be engaging in some Chicken Little activities here.
Boyd points at European and Asian travel advisories warning against not only travel to Mexico, but also travel to the U.S. He says this could wreak havoc for the airlines.
Well, what do you expect people to do when that happens?
Cancel their flights, he says. That's what. For airlines already suffering in the current recession, Boyd figures that's indeed a potential disaster. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
The Obama cabinet is on the verge of getting a health secretary in the midst of coping with the swine flu outbreak. A vote is expected in the Senate this afternoon on the president's nomination of Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius to be Secretary of Health and Human Services. Her nomination's been opposed by anti-abortion rights groups. A published report says two major banks apparently didn't come through their stress test with flying colors. The Wall Street Journal says regulators have put Citigroup and Bank of America on notice. They will likely need to raise additional capital. Banking consultant Bert Ely.
If they can't raise the additional capital that the government asks of them, then they will have failed the stress test. That doesn't necessarily mean that the banks are going to fail.
The stress test results will be made public later in the week. The prospects of insurance giant AIG collapsing sent shockwaves through the global economy a few months ago. Now, in an exclusive report, CBS News has learned that federal investigators have targeted three former executives on charges they hid billions of dollars in losses. As correspondent Armin Katayan reports, one of them is ex-chief of AIG Financial Products, Anthony Cassano.
In a statement, AIG said it was unaware of any fraud or malfeasance and it was fully cooperating with federal investigations. A senior AIG official, however, told us the company was stunned when the full scope of the losses first came to light in February 2008, at which point, he said, Cassano was asked to resign.
Time on the roundup is 5 past the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. No confirmed cases of swine flu in Colorado yet. Dr. Don Lefkowitz with Rose Medical Center says it's only a matter of time.
20 million people have been exposed in and around Mexico City, and 100 have died. That's pretty common for any flu outbreak.
Denver schools are reminding teachers and students to wash their hands and take other normal precautions against the flu. Officials are not scrubbing down desks or taking any other extra steps. Denver International Airport officials say they're not taking extra precautions either. Health officials in the U.S. are now reporting 50 swine flu cases. most mild and none fatal. With up to $14 million in federal aid on the line, Colorado lawmakers are again trying to tighten the state's seatbelt law. Colorado already requires drivers to buckle up, but violators can be ticketed only if they're pulled over for another traffic offense. This proposal would make not wearing a seatbelt a primary offense. Sports Nuggets dismantle the New Orleans Hornets 121-63. They lead the series 3-1, and the Rockies beat the Padres 12-7. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where the start to this morning's commute looking a lot better than yesterday. The highways are going to be dry and clear. Speeds are decent. We are seeing volume building on the southbound side of I-25 downtown. Construction crews are late wrapping up a project outside the city limits on the southbound side of I-25. This is near Highway 66. Off those main roads, got a crash involving two cars, Alameda and Havana. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
And Sunday is awesome, but Tuesday has really no feeling. So I try to add a little feeling with my Mr. Rogers sweater vest. Let's do a news rundown here. Stories that you probably haven't heard of. Or if you have, I'll try to give you a little detail that maybe you haven't. Swine flu is the news everywhere. And we'll get to that, but it's not the only news going on. National news. Fox News says it will not show Obama's press conference this week. President Obama's primetime press conference will air on every network except for Fox. He's holding a press conference to review his first 100 days. And tomorrow on the show, we'll go over. We'll do some grading of the first 100 days. We'll save that for tomorrow. Wall Street Journal reports that U.S. lawmakers on Capitol Hill are pointing fingers on flu funding. We went over this yesterday a little bit about the debate and the stimulus over whether Democrats' proposal to fund pandemic prevention was frivolous or not. Congressman David Obie of Wisconsin issued a statement criticizing lawmakers who oppose the funding. "We're not prepared today. Let's hope we don't need to be," Obie said. "I intend to again request additional funds in another budget proposal." Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa said that he would hold an emergency hearing on Tuesday on the U.S. public health response to the flu outbreak. And Democrats are reminding the media about what happened on the stimulus. Some of the funding that Democrats requested was later inserted into the omnibus spending bill that Congress passed in March The bill included about $500 million for a federal emergency fund. Senator Susan Collins was among those opposing the $1 billion spending in February. She's the Republican from Maine. Bloomberg News, Goldman Sachs, the bank that we've given billions of dollars to, unbowed by the worst year since the Great Depression, it's actually increasing its trading bets at the fastest rate. So as we give it more money, it is actually increasing its speculation. And there was this whole hullabaloo about how Goldman Sachs supposedly reported profits in the last quarter. Of course, when you're getting $10 billion from the government and when you're getting the AIG bailout, which the AIG bailout funneled about $12 billion to Goldman Sachs, it shouldn't be that hard to call yourselves profitable. The Institute for Southern Studies has on its blog a story from Grist magazine examining a possible link between the outbreak of swine flu and Smithfield Foods of Virginia, basically looking at whether this swine flu is coming from, is as a consequence of out-of-control corporate agriculture. I encourage you to go to www.southernstudies.org to read that expose. I love this piece. This is hilarious. Check this out. A new study by Ohio State University essentially says that conservatives don't know that Stephen Colbert is joking on his show. They seem to believe that he is a real conservative. They don't get that he's making fun of them. Conservatives were more likely to report that Colbert only pretends to be joking and genuinely means what he says. I mean, that is really, really incredible. You got to be a real idiot to think that Stephen Colbert is not making fun of conservatives. You got to really be an idiot. Business News, the United Auto Workers are probably going to accept concessions, contract concessions mandated by the government. Remember, our government says that we can't renegotiate the contracts for AIG executives when they make $165 million in bonuses, but the government says that it has all the power it needs to force auto workers to accept pay cuts. Interestingly, the auto workers, as a contingency for their potential concessions, they will own 55% of the newly restructured Chrysler. So it's a little silver lining there. Of course, today's the day that GM announced that Pontiac will no longer exist. That's a bummer. It's a classic. On the torture issue, George W. Bush's Justice Department may have said subjecting a person to the near drowning of waterboarding was not a crime and supposedly didn't cause pain, but Ronald Reagan's Justice Department thought otherwise, once prosecuting a Texas sheriff and three deputies for using the practice to get confessions. Think Progress has a great blog post on Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, headlined, "Reconciliation, says Santorum, has never been done before, except for when I used it." Last week, the White House increased the pressure to pass President Obama's budget proposal by keeping special what's known as reconciliation language in place that would allow the budget and universal health care to pass the Senate with 51 votes rather than 60 votes. Adding his voice to the conservative hysteria over the use of this process called reconciliation, former Senator Santorum declared today that such a move would short-circuit the process and has never been done. Of course, reconciliation has been used nearly 20 times since 1980, when it was first created. Indeed, Santorum himself was the Senate Republicans' point man in trying to push so-called welfare reform through the Senate using, guess what, reconciliation. A new study from the Center for American Progress reports that the government, in keeping secret the bank stress tests, you know how the government's going to stress test the banks, may be creating a situation that will allow for rampant insider trading. If you know, if you're on the inside and you know your bank is going to pass or fail your stress test, and everybody else doesn't know, guess what? You can go on the stock market and make a lot of money. New report by my friends at Public Citizen, the Watchdog Group. The California Air Resources Board voted 9-1 to approve new air quality standards, but may face a legal challenge thanks to provisions in the North American Free Trade Agreement. So NAFTA is empowering multinational corporations to sue California if it tries to strengthen its environmental laws. Florida is threatening to reject $444 million in unemployment insurance money. In local news, let's do a little local news rundown here. The Obama administration took steps Monday to reverse a last-minute Bush-era rule that allows mountaintop mining waste to be dumped near streams, saying it was bad public policy. So mining laws may get tougher here in Colorado and across the country. But we don't do... Well, I don't know how much mountaintop mining. I don't know how much mountaintop mining we do here in Colorado, if any. But clearly, the Interior Department is moving forward with trying to reverse some of the mining gifts that the Bush administration gave away. The former director of Maryland's Parole and Probation Division was here in Colorado to testify on behalf of criminal justice reform, talking about how to prevent recidivism. Maryland is known as a success story in trying to prevent recidivism, or at least somewhat of a success story, telling us that prisons are costly and we should put our money more into education. Of course, the criminal justice reform bill in the legislature has died. That's unfortunate. The State Senate unfortunately passed a bill requiring anyone arrested for a felony to submit a DNA sample. So the quest to create a huge DNA database in Colorado is moving forward. It's unfortunate. I'm real nervous about this. I think this is a bad idea. Some good news. Colorado Senate gives early okay to lockout benefits bill. This is in the Denver Business Journal. A proposal that lets workers collect unemployment benefits when they're locked out by their employers during a labor dispute got preliminary approval from the Colorado Senate on Monday. But if given the final approval from the Senate, the bill might encounter renewed resistance in the House or a veto from Governor Bill Ritter. So that's right. Bill Ritter may veto a bill that would allow workers who are locked out of their workplace, unemployment benefits. This was created by a 1999 law approved in the state legislature, and the governor's office was controlled by Republicans. That bill prevented workers who got locked out of their workplace from getting unemployment benefits. And obviously what that does is when you do that, you empower employers to really crush workers. When you say that if an employer locks out its workers, workers are not going to be able to even get unemployment benefits, it makes it more frightening for workers to ask for any kind of pay increases that often move employers to lock their workers out. So this is a really serious worker rights issue here. Couple more stories. Well, District Attorney Ken Buck denied reports circulating on Monday that he was officially throwing his hat into the ring for the U.S. Senate as a Republican candidate against Michael Bennett. The head of the Colorado Department of Public Health said on Monday that he fully expects to see cases of swine flu in Colorado in the near future. So it's probably coming here, folks. Colorado lawmakers took a step on Monday towards requiring insurance companies to cover the assessment, diagnosis, and treatment of autism. That's good news. And the Colorado Independent reports a growing chorus of Colorado and national sportsmen and conservation groups are calling on Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to suspend work on the controversial Colorado roadless rule or pull the plug on it altogether in favor of a stronger national rule. So that debate is kicking off. I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've got a great show for you. In the 8 a.m. hour, we're going to talk about the potential downsides of the Prius. In the 9 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking about the media's coverage of the first 100 days with Media Matters. And then at 9:30, we're going to be joined by former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich, the economist, and he's going to give us his thoughts on the Obama administration's first 100 days in terms of economic policy. In this hour, I'm going to throw out a question that I promised to throw out yesterday, but we got diverted by Governor Ritter's interview with us. It's about a Supreme Court case that's going to blow your mind. So stick around. 6:21 on April the 28th, 2009, 41 degrees in Denver, going up to 62. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Good morning, David. Traffic is a lot better, like Tony said at the beginning of the hour, than yesterday. CDOT, though, late wrapping up construction on southbound I-25 up near Longmont there at Highway 66. Seeing backups to me, that's a pretty sticky situation up there. Also got an accident on I-70 east of Bennett around town. Got a surface street crash, Alameda and Havana. Highway speed starting to dip a little bit, but still in the 40s and 50s as you're making your way around the metro. Look out for some fog on 25 down south in the Monument Hill area. Forecast, partly sunny and breezy, highs in the upper 60s. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Choice is a good thing, especially at the freeway. Right now.
REI asks, just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out at the REI Anniversary Sale, our biggest sale of the year. Gear up for summer and save up to 30% on select camping, hiking, cycling, and paddling gear. Plus, REI members can save 20% on one item. Not a member? Then it's the perfect time to join. May 1st through May 10th. Stop by your local REI retailer or shop REI.com. REI. Find out. Offer applies to one full price item. Exclusions apply.
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream Sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds money depend on number of entries. As May 16th, each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Introducing TGI Friday's restaurant's new $5 sandwiches and salads. 9 irresistible new selections like the JD Chicken Sandwich or Santa Fe Chop Salad, all for just $5. And to celebrate, right now, any sandwich or salad on our menu is just $5 too. So hurry in to get yours now, because this offer is only for a limited time. Visit Fridays.com for details. Gimme more Fridays. Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this weekend.
That's Jared!
That's because this weekend, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared in time for Mother's Day. Get set in diamonds this weekend for a reward worth up to $1,000 this weekend only at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
IntelligentOffice.com or 303-447-9000.
On AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. So a little news of the weird before we get to the first question of the day. There's a follow-up story to our debate yesterday about the baby shaker game. Remember I mentioned the slippery slope with censorship? One of my favorite websites, GamePolitics.com, has this report. An online game released more than a year ago is suddenly causing a stir in religious circles. Faith Fighter, launched in January of 2008 by the always provocative Molian Industria, allows players to pit various deities against one another in Mortal Kombat-style action. The virtual combatants in the game include a depiction of Allah, a serious no-no in the Muslim faith. British newspaper is reporting that some Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists are upset as well. Douglas Miller, pastor of one church, told the newspaper, "This game is going out of its way to upset people, and I think it should be taken off the internet. Playing violent video games will affect your behavior, and this game is deeply offensive and provocative." An unnamed representative of the Federation of Muslim Organizations added, "In the current climate, this game can only create fear about religion. Having images depicting Muhammad in this way is also very offensive to our faith." A spokesperson for the software company defended the work, saying, "The purpose of this game is to push gamers to reflect on how sacred representations are often used to fuel or justify conflicts between people." So here you have a perfect example as a follow-up story to our discussion over the baby shaker. You know, we want to ban the baby shaker, but what about this game? Problem is, when you start getting into censorship, it's a slippery slope. A couple other pieces of news from the tech world. I mentioned yesterday that Verizon is thinking, and Apple are in negotiations to allow Verizon to offer the iPhone, which I'm psyched about. I have the Verizon plan, and I have to pay a huge amount of money to get over to the iPhone. But, as a follow-up to that story, Saul Hansel, who we had here yesterday from the New York Times, reports that Verizon's financial results released Monday underscore that AT&T needs the iPhone more than Verizon does, so it has more of an incentive to outbid Verizon to keep the exclusive deal. So, in other words, Verizon is doing okay without the iPhone, and AT&T needs the exclusivity on the iPhone more than Verizon. So the whole Verizon iPhone thing might not actually happen, which I would be really bummed out about. AP reports authorities in Eugene, Oregon, said a man accused of money laundering was tripped up because he could have used a little cleansing himself. Court records show that during his trip to a Eugene bank, a man drew attention to himself because of a foul odor, possibly linked to fertilizer. A teller vomited. I mean, you got to smell really bad if a teller vomits upon you getting near them. I mean, customers complained, authorities investigated, and after an IRS investigation into a drug operation involving high-potency marijuana and hallucinogenic mushrooms, a federal grand jury indicted the man. So I guess for all the potential money launderers out there, note to self, don't stink too badly. And finally, in Chicago, the AP reports a Chicago alderman said he doesn't mind that a businessman plans to open a hot dog stand in his ward and hire former convicts to work there, but he does object to the stand's crime-linked theme. The alderman said Friday his second ward on the city's west side has major crime problems, so he thinks the stand's name, Felony Franks, is simply not in good taste. You know what? Again, we're getting into the censorship issue. Should people be allowed to do these things? Should they be allowed to, you know, One person's art, one person's good advertising is another person's insult. I'm telling you. You start getting into censorship, you get into a weird place. Okay, as promised, 6:30, I'm going to throw out the first question of the day. This is a pretty important story. Supreme Court is in session now, and all sorts of rulings are coming down the pike. And there is an issue in the court that hasn't gotten that much attention, but I think is pretty important. Washington Post reports that an important case at the Supreme Court deals with the question of whether children should be able to be strip searched at school. The question is whether that is an infringement on all sorts of rights, including the child's privacy. Strip searched at school when the school is looking for illegal drugs. So the question of the hour is, do you think school administrators, school officials, should have the right to strip search kids if those kids are suspected of possessing or carrying illegal drugs or other contraband? 303-713-7600. We got open phones. Again, 303-713-7600. Should school officials be allowed to strip search kids for illegal drugs or other contraband? Now, let's be clear. Part of the argument's going to be, well, what does it mean to be suspected? Right? Can they just be randomly strip searched? But let's just assume that the suspicions are warranted and legitimate. Right? Let's assume that the school has a reason to suspect that a kid in school has something on them, a knife, a gun, drugs. Should the school have the power to strip down a kid and look at what they have on them? 303-713-7600. I'm torn on this. What do you think, Turk? You got kids in school.
I don't think they should be allowed to strip search at school, no.
So you think kids should have Fourth Amendment rights,
yeah,
against unreasonable searches and seizures?
Yes, most definitely.
Now you say, what if there's a suspected a kid's got a gun? What if the school suspects the kid has a gun, a knife, some other weapon?
A strip search? Can't they pat him down and find it? Strip search?
I mean, kids are pretty innovative. You know, I mean, they can, you know, they know how to hide stuff. I knew how to hide stuff when I was in school.
Yeah, but I'll, you know.
Pack of gum down the shorts, you know.
Right. You know, that's, like you said, it's a slippery slope. I don't know. I could maybe go either way on this one, but I'm going to lean on saying no. I think the kids should have Fourth Amendment rights there in school. And maybe, you know, if with parental approval, yeah.
With parental approval? I mean, so you're going to call the parents and be like, we're going to strip search your kid? Why, by the way, and why should the parent, if it's the kid's Fourth Amendment right,
why should
the parent be allowed to? You know what I'm saying? Like, either you have a Fourth Amendment right or you don't. I'm curious what people are going to say. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
this is we've had Columbine around here. You know, I mean, theoretically, had school officials suspected what was going to happen at Columbine, they could have strip searched.
I mean, how do you trust the administrator who's going to be doing the search? Or will it be a police officer or, you know?
Right, I know.
You could have some creepy, you know, child-type molester type.
Exactly.
Performing strip searches for nothing.
That's the other side of this. What do you think? 303-713-7600, open phones. Again, the Supreme Court is considering a case that would decide whether school officials, school administrators, should have the right to strip search kids if they're suspected of possessing illegal drugs, weapons, or other contraband. Do you think that's okay? Would you be comfortable with with administrators at your school having that power? Or do you want them to have that power so your kid is protected? 303-713-7600. It's 6:34 here on April the 28th, 2009. Decent day out there. Not a great day, but a decent day. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Starting to see things really come to a halt there on southbound 25, leaving North Glen, 104th down to 84. Speeds dipping there. Stop-and-go conditions also busy downtown after I-70. Highway's looking pretty normal around Denver. Up north, though, CDOT is late wrapping up construction on southbound I-25 near Highway 66. Going to see a lot of traffic there between Meade and the Longmont area. Also got a crash out to the east on I-70, east of Bennett. And one around Denver, Alameda, and Havana. Your forecast, partly sunny, heavy winds at times, calling for a high of 68 degrees. Right now we're at 41 downtown. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When you're on your motorcycle, nothing catches you off guard. Until something does. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com.
60 minutes.
You know how windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery Spring Sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, Accelerated Piano Method at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Technology.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
Showbiz.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
Showbiz.
011860. That's 1-800-601-1860. They're going fast. Don't miss out on your free sample. Call right now. 1-800-601-1860. 1-800-601-1860.
Come to Jared and experience the legend of Levion.
That's Jared.
The design and craftsmanship of Levion jewelry, including the delicious new trends, Levion chocolate diamonds, Levion chocolate cultured South Sea pearls, and raspberry rhodolite garnets in strawberry gold, must be seen to be appreciated. Visit Jared to understand why Levion has devoted collectors the world over.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. And right now you can save $25 to $300 instantly when you buy select power tools during the Ultimate Power Deal event, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Six 6:39 on the Front Range. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. 41 degrees in Denver, going up to 62. Talking about this Supreme Court case, let me just read you a couple more details before we get to Billy in Denver on the line. And the number to weigh in is 303-713-7600. This is from the Christian Science Monitor. The lawyer for an Arizona school district was grilled by Supreme Court justices who seemed shocked that a middle school assistant principal would order the strip search of a 13-year-old girl. But as the hour-long argument continued, it also appeared possible that the justices may issue a ruling upholding broad authority for school officials to conduct wide-ranging student searches. The case, Safford Unified School District versus Reading, is being closely watched because it would set new rules nationwide for how far school officials can go in conducting searches of students' property and their bodies while investigating alleged violations of school policies and rules. This story is incredible. At issue is whether school officials violated the Fourth Amendment privacy rights of 13-year-old Savannah Redding when, in 2003, they ordered her to take off most of her clothes in a fruitless search for suspected drugs. The strip search occurred after one of Savannah's friends was caught with prescription pills. The friend told officials that she'd received the pills from Savannah, an eighth-grade honor student. Officials then pulled Savannah out of class to be questioned and eventually strip-searched. During the search, two female officials made Savannah remove her shoes, socks, pants, and shirt. She was then told to shake her bra and underpants and move them aside to reveal any hidden pills. None were found. Savannah's lawyers say she was traumatized by the experience and developed bleeding ulcers. She never returned to the school after the incident. Adam Wolf, an ACLU lawyer, told the justices that school officials needed specific information suggesting that Savannah had hidden the pills on her body to justify such an intrusive search. What this school official did was act on nothing more than a hunch. The Fourth Amendment does not countenance rummaging around a 13-year-old girl's body. So this is a serious issue here, folks. This ruling could empower really invasive searches of kids at school. And again, it could empower school officials to try to find not only drugs, but weapons. And so the question of the hour is, what do you think about this? Do you want school officials to have this kind of power? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600 is the number. Kathy Hazuri of the ACLU, if you're out there, give us a call. If you're listening in, weigh in on this. We know where you stand, but I'd like to ask you a couple questions about this. Let's go to Billy in Denver. Billy, hello.
Hello, David. Great show. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Listen, I'd like to say first that I do not agree with this at all. If it were to pass, I'd be somewhat upset. Now, I say that from a fatherly bias. I have an 8-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old son. You know, being a little bit different with a daughter and a son, I feel like the school should not have those rights at all. However, with that being said, I do feel like there's an avenue that they can approach that would kind of make this a moot point. As far as I'm concerned, if there was a concern and it went that far that it needed to have a strip search, I would be to the school in a second and do the search myself, possibly, or if it gets that far, I really feel like the authorities should be involved. If we're talking about drugs, and then you brought up weapons earlier, I really think that the law should be involved if it comes to a gun and a strip search like that. I don't think that the schools should have that right.
But what about kids whose parents may not be as vigilant as you, right, whose parents wouldn't, are either unavailable or wouldn't come running if the school said, hey, we're worried that your kid has a gun. Can you come over here and, you know, strip search your own kid?
And again, I think, obviously, as parents, we need to take that responsibility. But, again, there are going to be those circumstances where you don't have parents that are either A, available or, you know, like you said, not as responsible, should we say. But I think if it comes to that point, that's got to be your first avenue. You've got to have the parents involved. But But right after that, you've got to have the authorities involved. If we're talking about drugs and weapons.
Well, so what you're saying is you'd be comfortable if it wasn't school administrators strip searching your kid, but if a police officer was?
You know, if it got to that point and they felt they needed to call the police, and the police looked at it as a criminal issue and felt at that point they had the right, I think, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure that there's corruption at all levels, but to allow the school where they're an academic to try to make those decisions about who needs to be strip searched, especially listening to what was going on there in Arizona, I don't feel like somebody saying, yeah, I got it from with an unfounded.
So what I hear you saying is that your issue is that you don't trust school officials with police powers.
I think that'd be accurate to say.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. But you wouldn't necessarily have as much of a problem if the police, who theoretically have more experience with these kinds of searches and seizures and conducting them in a way that at least considers the Fourth Amendment, you wouldn't have as much of a problem if it was police doing the searching.
Precisely. I think that would be the first thing that they would consider is the Fourth Amendment.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the police always consider first and foremost the Fourth Amendment. But I hear what you're saying. The police definitely have more experience with at least considering those issues than certainly school officials. Hey, Billy, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, further, I want to add just quickly the thing that passed with the 17-year-olds being able to get the morning after stuff. I think that kind of falls into the same thing. You're taking responsibility away from the parents. We need to put more responsibility on the parents.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Gloria in Denver, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
I definitely don't think the kids should be strip searched. If the principal really thinks that somebody has a gun or a weapon, you get them in the office, you call the police, you let the police handle it.
All right. So,
I think it's an easy fix.
So that's two folks who say that they'd be more comfortable with the police. I mean, the flip side of that is that you're going to potentially turn schools into a bit of a police state.
But see, we're not turning them into a police state. The kids that are bringing the guns in and the families that are not watching their kids are turning them into.
Well,
a police
state. I mean, I guess you could say that.
We have Columbine, so I definitely understand what's going on.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that you're going to potentially militarize your schools if that's going to be the way, if that's the compromise situation. You're going to militarize your schools. Now maybe people want that. I don't know.
We just put metal detectors in the doorways. I mean, you know, if our Constitution means anything, we need to understand what it means. And I don't believe these kids should. Those rights should be violated. I don't think anybody's rights should be violated, whether, you know, people don't like it or not. That's, we live under our Constitution. And
I mean, that's,
if you want to change it,
that's where I come down. That is ultimately where I come down, that the Fourth Amendment can't just apply to adults.
Right.
This is a Bill of Rights that applies to everybody. You're still a citizen even if you're a minor.
Right.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Roy, what do you think?
Yes, sir. Well, I think if there isn't crime being committed, then it's strictly a law enforcement issue. And whether, I guess, the police are actually doing the searches or a doctor in this case is doing the searches, that's immaterial. But if there's no crime being committed, there's absolutely...
Well, but hold on a second. There's a difference, and we all know, we've all gone to school. There's a difference between something that's criminal and something that's not allowed in school. See what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
You may not be allowed to have, I don't know, chewing gum or a radio or an iPod playing or something. There are things that you're not allowed to have on your person in a school. prescription drugs. There are things that you're not allowed to have on your person in school that's not a crime to have on your person. Right?
Unless it's a crime being committed, it wouldn't warrant a strip search.
All right, let me throw out a hypothetical. Hold on, let me throw out a hypothetical. What if somebody's carrying a knife? You're allowed to carry a knife. What if a kid is carrying a knife? That's not illegal to carry a knife, at least as far as I know, in the world. I mean, you're allowed to walk outside with a knife.
Absolutely. And the fact that these knives are not allowed on school grounds is an overreaction to Columbine. I understand that.
So you're okay with a kid going to school with a knife in their pocket?
I carried a pocket knife my entire life.
But what about a butterfly knife? You know, what about like a hunting knife? Something that could really do some real damage. A switchblade. I don't think a switchblade is legal, actually.
Well, no, it's not legal.
Okay, but like a knife that's not a pocket knife. A knife that's like a real, that could do some real damage. Right?
I guess unless it's actually good. I mean, the kid is going to use the thing. What does it harm that he actually has?
The problem is that the kid will use it and then cause a lot of damage before you actually stop them. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I'm not trying to be argumentative. What I'm trying to say is that this has got a lot of, as the dude from Lebowski would say, got a lot of ins and a lot of outs. A lot of ins and outs to this one, right? When you start going, you start thinking about it. Things that you're allowed to carry as a citizen that you're not allowed to have in school, and justifiably so, how do you deal with that? Stuff that could be dangerous. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The topic of the hour is this new Supreme Court case that asks whether kids should be allowed to be strip searched in school by school administrators. What do you think? 303-713-7600. This has a lot of national implications, and as I said, a lot of ins, a lot of outs. So give us a call, 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Southbound 25 really filling up in the usual spots. Also got some late construction being wrapped up up near Highway 66 in Longmont. Seeing some delays back to Meade, but speeds starting to improve there. Stop and go, though. North Glen, 104th to 84th. Also busy downtown after I-70. Speeds dipping into the 30s there after the I-70 curve. Also busy on southbound 225, Colfax to Alameda, again from Yosemite down to the Tech Center. Seeing more traffic now, eastbound 36, Federal to 25. Same deal, eastbound C-470, Wadsworth to Santa Fe. Foggy conditions on 25 in the Monument Hill area, so we are checking some low clouds this morning. Your forecast, partly sunny and breezy, highs in the upper 60s. Right now, 41 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride. Help to keep Denver's streets, air, and water clean. Move your car on your street sweeping day to keep the Mile High City clean, and you won't get a ticket. Visit keepitcleandenver.org to sign up for a free e-minder or text, or call 311 for free calendar stickers.
That's Jared!
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $50 to $1,300.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
These days, small businesses have to turn on a dime to turn a profit. An intelligent office lets you do just that. As the leader in virtual officing solutions, we provide all the a la carte office and conference space, customized receptionist services, support staff, and administrative services you need at a fraction of the cost of traditional officing. So you can project a larger image with a smaller amount of money. Imagine having 24/7 access to meeting space at a prestigious address on an as-needed basis, or a trained receptionist to promptly answer calls, then screen, announce, and forward them to you without the cost of a full-time dedicated assistant. Let Intelligent Office show you how to operate professionally within a limited budget. Find the location nearest you at intelligentoffice.com.
Our offices are coast to coast, including Denver and Boulder. 303-447-9000. IntelligentOffice.com or 303-447-9000.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready.
Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil, to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
Putting the magic into Irvin Johnson took a lot of hard work, but the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center is working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
655, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Should the Supreme Court empower school administrators to strip search your kid looking for drugs and or weapons? Or do kids have a right to the Fourth Amendment, as much of a right to the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable searches and seizures, as much of a right as the rest of us? 303-713-7600, this is what the Supreme Court is considering, and it has major national implications. And obviously here in Colorado with the Columbine killings, we have particular interest in the safety of our schools. 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Jim in Lakewood. Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think that the biggest problem I have with what's at issue before the Supreme Court is this idea that young people have less of a right under the Fourth Amendment than the rest of us. I mean, if somebody wanted, if the police suspected that I had drugs hidden on my person, they'd have to have a warrant. They'd have to go before an independent magistrate and obtain a warrant to do a strip search or a body cavity search. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So that's my first problem is that there is.
Well, but hold on a minute.
Court
that's not necessarily true. I mean, you're allowed to be pulled over in a car under suspicion.
Talking,
I mean, there's
I'm
a lot.
Talking, I'm talking about a strip search.
Okay.
That's what I'm
okay.
talking about.
Right.
There are different levels of protection. Okay. And whether and whenever one starts with these, whenever the government wants to do anything vis-a-vis your body, which is considered like your, it's even more a private castle than your home.
And by the way, you're distinguishing between a strip search and like a pat down.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Certainly. A pat down, that's a minimal intrusion. But when you start telling me or telling some young woman that she has to take her clothes off.
Yeah.
That's a major intrusion.
Right. That is
into her privacy. And what bothers me about the arguments before the Supreme Court has to do with, do children have Fourth Amendment rights and protections?
Well, so, I think the real
and
question.
The scope of those.
Yeah, the real question, right. So the question is this unreasonable? Is it an unreasonable search and seizure inside of a school? And I hear you, man. I hear you. You're right. You hear this story about stripping down a young woman. It's disturbing. Thanks for the call. All right, last call before the top of the hour, and then we'll get back to this. Get back to this topic. Let's go to Rick and Aurora. Rick.
Yeah, hi. Just quickly, two things that you seem to have missed was, number one, the school had a zero policy on drugs.
Zero tolerance, right? Right.
Zero tolerance. Number two, those prescription drugs we're talking about were prescription Tylenol, which is not illegal.
No,
I feel the school just plain overreacted.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I am saying that. But what I'm also saying is that there are certain things that are not illegal that you probably don't want in a school, like a knife that you're allowed to carry around on the street that you wouldn't want and schools don't allow. You wouldn't want in a school and schools don't allow. That's where it gets into a very, very gray area. Thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We got a great show for you today. Stick around. We're going to have former Labor Secretary Robert Reich on in the 9 a.m. hour. We're going to continue on this Supreme Court case after the top of the news.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. It's probably going to get worse. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano says she expects more confirmed swine flu cases over the next few weeks, but she doesn't see any need at this point for tighter controls at border crossings. The number of known cases in the U.S. is up to 50 now, three in Dallas, where a woman boarding a bus wonders if she's been exposed.
You think you're safe, but you never know.
Swine flu hasn't killed anyone in this country, but the death toll in Mexico stands at 152. Live to CBS's Vicky Barker. What's the latest, Vicky?
New cases reported in New Zealand and Israel, and the World Health Organization says the virus now seems to be spreading beyond travelers returning from the epicenter, Mexico. The health alert ramped up from phase 3 to phase 4.
This sends a signal that we are a significant step closer to a pandemic.
WHO spokesman Gregory Hartle, with swine flu now present in 7 countries, but with most patients so far responding well to antiviral drugs. Hartle says the crisis is at a turning point.
This is John Blackstone in Mexico City. There are reports here that many of the people who are closest to victims of this disease haven't yet started getting treatment, and this is one of the ways, of course, to contain an epidemic. It makes people here worried that the government doesn't have this under control.
One of the confirmed swine flu cases in New York City involves a worker at a big accounting company.
Ernst & Young closed off a section of its office here in Times Square for disinfection. This is after an employee was diagnosed with swine flu. They sent out an internal memo telling employees that they believe the risk of contracting the flu is very low, but that the employees should feel free to work at home.
WCBS-TV's Jay Dow. You've come a long way, baby, but when it comes to getting paid, you're not there yet. Live to CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer in Washington.
Well, Frank, women in the federal workforce continue to earn less than men, but the pay gap is narrowing. Later today, the General Accounting Office will tell Congress the annual salary difference for male and female government workers has narrowed from 19 to 11 cents on the dollar. There are congressional calls now for legislation in response to pay differences based on any discrimination, Frank.
Union leaders break ground today on a memorial at the National Labor College honoring the more than 5,000 American workers who die on the job each year. Overseas, at a stop in the Italian earthquake zone, the Pope demanded serious soul searching for those responsible for shoddy construction, blamed for as many as 300 deaths. The Wall Street Journal reports that federal regulators have told Bank of America and Citigroup they'll probably have to raise billions in additional capital. Analyst Gerard Cassidy says that's not good news for the people who run those banks.
Anyone that has to go back to the U.S. government for additional capital, they're going to be, in our view, required to change senior management.
Ahead of the bell, S&P futures are down 12 points. This is CBS News.
If you're a contractor, 4 of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. And right now you can save $25 to $300 instantly when you buy select power tools during the Ultimate Power Deal event, which can then lead to the 4 best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Reason number 48 to switch to Geico.
As much as you enjoy the experience, you won't have to go to the post office. We can automatically debit your checking account or even charge a premium to your credit card. It's easy and you never have to worry about mailing your car insurance premium again. But we must warn you, you won't get to use any postage stamps. I hear they're coming out with some pretty cool designs.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. About 50 cases of swine flu have been reported nationally, but none yet in Colorado. Some CU students may be fortunate. Their spring break trips to Mexico came at the right time.
I think if we were a week after spring break, we'd have a little bit more level of concern about what possibly could happen.
Dr. Pamela Talley says instead spring break was almost a month ago and that those vacationing college students should be fine. Steve Mears' company, MCG Incorporated, prepares people for pandemics. He says even modern medicine can't prevent a massive outbreak.
Pandemics, they've happened three times in recent history. 1918, with the Spanish flu, was the most severe that that we've seen on record. In 57, the Asian flu, and in 68, the Hong Kong flu. It's not a matter of if, but when.
Mears says U.S. health officials may be able to avoid the worst-case scenarios by stockpiling the Tamiflu drug. The Colorado House's fighting granny is resigning. Golden Representative Gwen Green was known for her impassioned speeches about protecting children from sexual predators and preventing abuse of disabled adults. The Democrat became known as the fighting granny. Sports Nuggets beat the New Orleans Hornets 121-63. They're up 3-1 in that playoff series. And the Rockies win again. They beat the Padres 12-7. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where there are no accidents or stalls to get in your way, CDOT's wrapped up their overnight construction, so those won't slow you down either. You will find those delays in those usual spots, like southbound 225 as you're making that Parker curve up towards DTC. C-470 dragging a bit, Wadsworth to Santa Fe. We're also seeing those usual slowdowns on the southbound side of I-25 coming out of Thornton and Northland. There's also that patchy fog still hanging around along I-25 in the Monument Hill area. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Paulino Gardens, growers of the finest vegetable and bedding plants, welcomes you to their beautiful garden center. You'll find a wide selection of quality trees, shrubs, rose bushes, and perennial flowers. Friendly expert advice and family-owned since 1962. Paulino Gardens, 6300 North Broadway in Denver.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, I like you.
Old Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery Spring Sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Next year, Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th. Showbiz.
Welcome.
We are live
for the world premiere
and
Showbiz.
The movie industry is all a-Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Showbiz.
If they're suspected of having guns, weapons, illegal drugs. And before we get back to the phones, see if I can pull this up here. I want to read a little bit more about this story so you understand what we're talking about here. Basically, a kid in Arizona was strip searched. Under suspicion of having illegal drugs. And I'll read you this story from the Christian Science Monitor. The lawyer for an Arizona school district was grilled by U.S. Supreme Court justices who seemed shocked that a middle school assistant principal would order the strip search of a 13-year-old girl. But as the hour-long oral arguments at the Supreme Court continued, It also appeared possible that the justices may issue a ruling upholding broad authority for school officials to conduct wide-ranging student searches. At issue is whether school officials violated the Fourth Amendment privacy rights of 13-year-old Savannah Renning when, in 2003, they ordered her to take off almost all of her clothes in a fruitless search for suspected drugs. So the question is, should school officials have this power? Paul in Boulder, you're a teacher. What do you think?
I was a teacher on the south side of Chicago. So we had a lot of stuff like this going on.
Right.
And what we did is, as soon as it got to the point to where we had to search a kid, the police were called. So it was a very, very defined line for us. But on the other hand, the kids had no privacy whatsoever with concerns to their lockers or anything they brought in with them, bags and things like that. So I think that was a good way to handle it. We never had any legal trouble. And, you know, if a parent gets called with telling them that the police are, you know, going to search their kid, 99% of them were there. Granted, some may be out of town or there's no way they can get out of work. Then they would take them out, take them to the precinct or to the station and wait for the parent to get there.
Well, you make a compelling case. I mean, you definitely make a compelling case that there are ways to mitigate this. And, you know, in the article here, it notes that Justice Stephen Breyer asked the lawyer for the school district why the school used such an extreme form of search.
I can think of
a lot of things that are less intrusive, Justice Breyer said. It seems so easy. How about put on your gym clothes?
Right. Well, the other thing, you know, I went to school in the 70s, and I went to a private Catholic high school. So they weren't afraid to take you out in the hall and tune you up if you needed it, right?
Right.
Thank God the laws have changed.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Even in that environment, they would not strip a kid down and search him. Even, you know, you never heard about this in the girls' schools and my friends that went to public high schools on the south side. Even one guy went to Farragut of all schools. I mean, he was the only white person in the school, and they still wouldn't do that. They still wouldn't.
And just to add into this discussion how many different issues are involved in this case, because it seems so cut and dry, but listen to this. In grappling with the issue, several justices wondered whether the intrusiveness of a search might be proportional to the potential danger of the suspected drugs. Savannah was suspected of carrying prescription-strength ibuprofen. But what if she was suspected of carrying heroin, crack, or methamphetamine, they asked. Justice Souter suggested there might be a sliding scale of risk that could justify intrusive searches in certain circumstances. He said a school administrator might prefer, quote, to have the kid embarrassed by a strip search than to have some other kid dead. Savannah's lawyer said the focus should be on whether school administrators had enough specific evidence to justify their tactics. So it's interesting with what's going on here. The lawyer for the kid is saying, look, the question should be not whether the search itself was too extreme, but whether a search was warranted at all based on whether there was specific evidence for a search. And that goes to whether a search is unreasonable or not, really.
Is this the lawyer for the kid? Because I think he's going down the wrong path here.
Yeah, that's the lawyer for the kid.
Yeah, I think he's making a mistake because he has to draw a hard line in the situation, not the drug. If there's potential danger, if they think there's imminent danger, you hold the kid till the police come. To me, it seems so simple.
Well, yeah, but what the kid's lawyer is saying is, look, I don't want to get into whether the search itself was extreme. I want to get into whether the evidence warranted the search, right? And that's the probable cause argument, right? Was there probable cause for a search? It's interesting. It sounds like they're kind of trying to downplay whether a search should be allowed, but and play up whether what kind of evidence should be necessary to allow a search, which I think actually, thinking through it, might not be such a bad legal strategy, considering that the Fourth Amendment may doesn't prevent search and seizure. It prevents unreasonable search
right.
and seizure. So it doesn't say you can't be searched. It just says there's got to be, and that's been interpreted to be, there's got to be a cause. So,
yeah, but then your unreasonable search and seizure becomes a mushy issue.
Well, it is a mushy. I mean, that's why the Supreme Court is always ruling on issues like this. It's a very, very, very gray area.
Yeah, and I think that if you take the stand that if it becomes a legal issue, and in my point is that if it requires for someone to be strip searched, then you got to call in the police.
Yeah, and that's as you said, that's how they dealt with it in Chicago.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Paul, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. We got open phones. What do you think about this Supreme Court case? Do you think kids are entitled to full Fourth Amendment rights at school? Do you think school administrators, with probable cause, should be able to strip search kids looking for weapons, illegal drugs, or other such contraband to protect the safety and health of the whole school? 303-713-7600. This case is going to have national implications, and obviously we have serious experience with dangers in our school, considering we're the state that had Columbine in our midst. 303-713-7600. And Turk and I were talking about this during the break. You know, where does it stop, right? I mean, do kids have a right to Fourth Amendment against their parents? Right? Like, can a kid say...
At what age do you get access to the Fourth Amendment?
Yeah, I mean, like, really, like, what if I'm sitting in my room, you know, I'm a kid, I'm a 16-year-old, and I'm smoking weed, and my dad comes in, and I hide the weed, and my dad comes in and says, I smell weed, I'm gonna search your room for weed. Is that an unreasonable search and seizure? I mean, do you have Fourth Amendment rights against your parents? I mean, I know that that sounds like a ridiculous question, but it's actually a real question. Right? Like, at what point are parents constitutionally disempowered from unreasonable searches and seizures?
Yeah,
and that's what these questions are all about.
I can wait for my 16-year-old to tell me that I can't look through his desk drawer.
I mean, seriously, right, Dad, you're violating my constitutional rights, right? I mean, this is what this is about.
And what do most parents say? Son, you have no constitutional rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Rights.
This is not a democracy
right. In
this house. Right, exactly.
So why should it be any different at school? Or should it be?
Well, that's the question. That is the question. Why should it be any different? Well, I guess the answer would be, well, it's different at school because the school is the state. And the family is the family, but still, it's the same question. At what age are you entitled to full constitutional rights? 303-713-7600 is the number. Again, 303-713-7600. This Supreme Court case has national implications. Do you want school administrators to be able to protect your kids from other kids with pretty serious searching capabilities, strip searching? So that your kid isn't at school with a kid who's packing heat.
I don't trust school officials enough to be doing that kind of thing. At all. Period.
I don't need it. Me neither. It makes me queasy.
It does.
I mean, that story about the girl getting stripped down all the way, almost naked, for basically high-powered Tylenol is really creepy. I mean, it's really creepy. 303-713-7600. It's 7:18 here on April the 28th on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Right, let's get a traffic report.
Thank you, David. Traffic still pretty good around the metro system. Southbound I-25, our heaviest spot right now up in Northland, seeing speeds in the teens and 20s between 104th and 84th. Also busy after I-70, but speeds are popping up into the 30s there at least. Eastbound C-470, trouble spot across Littleton. Wadsworth to Lewson, again from Broadway up past University, almost all the way to Quebec. Also seeing traffic heading eastbound on the Turnpike. Federal to I-25, going to be a slow spot. Same deal on 6th Avenue coming in there after Sheridan on the approach in from Lakewood. Also dealing with some foggy conditions on 25 down in the Monument Hill area. Your forecast today, partly sunny, heavy winds at times, calling for a high of 68. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Kids, every time you turn around, it seems like you need to feed them. Well, Chipotle has helped.
If you ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this weekend.
That's Jared!
That's because this weekend, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared in time for Mother's Day. Get set in diamonds this weekend for a reward worth up to $1,000 this weekend only at Jared.
It can only be Jared!
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saul Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149.
66332-1941. Remember,
understand,
honor,
and give from the heart.
PearlHarborMemorial.com. Thank you.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman from KKZN. If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. Yes, we've all heard that home equity loans are hard to get these days, but TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. I can tell you that the hardworking lenders at TCF Bank want to make loans. Find out what TCF Bank can do for you. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or talk to a lender today. Call 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
New or used, you'll find the best pricing, financing, and service for your Chevy Silverado at Purefoy Chevrolet, the best Chevy dealer in the Denver area. Find us at DenverSilverado.com or SilveradoDenver.com. No matter how you spell it, it's PurefoyChevrolet.com.
Thinking about refinancing? With up to four competitive offers in minutes, LendingTree is the perfect place to start. Call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com for licensing. When banks compete, you win.
For the last 8 years, there has been no global warming.
There has been significant global warming year by year.
That's a nice little trick that people on your side use, but you and I both know that's disingenuous.
No, it's not a trick.
Just look at the melting Arctic.
The fact that ice is melting is not proof that global temperatures are going up.
Glacier National Park in the United States in 10 years is no longer going to have the glacier it's had for 10,000 years. And you're saying, oh, there's no global warming?
Tom Hartman, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
7:22, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. We're talking about the Supreme Court case about whether school administrators should have the right to strip search kids if they're suspected of possessing illegal drugs, weapons, or other contraband. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Where does a child's Fourth Amendment rights begin? Do Fourth Amendment rights exist in schools? Should they be extended? Do they extend to minors or not? An Arizona school district strip searched a 13-year-old girl looking for illegal drugs on her person. They did not find them, but forced her to strip all the way down to almost naked looking for illegal drugs. And the Supreme Court case rules on behalf of the school district on saying that the school district was within its rights to do that, it could, according to news reports and legal analysts, it could extend a broad swath of powers to school officials. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go to Tom in Aurora. Tom.
Mark.
Hello, Tom. All right, Tom, cut out. Let's go to Dutch in Westminster. Dutch.
Yes, David. I was telling, I guess, whoever had answered the call, you guys are missing the mark. The thing is, Fourth Amendment starts at the front door of the house, period. I mean, there's a certain thing about parentals being able to go through, you know, and whatever. I can't remember the law right off the bat, but it's pretty much, you know, you go through your child's drawers and stuff like that, there's no problem. The problem is these people have gone way overboard. They are not the police department. They're not the FBI. They're not Secret Service or any of that. They are just a school board. And they have certain rights and things, but they cannot sit there and take your kid in front of five people and strip search him almost naked. Now, the thing is, the guy from South Side of Chicago had it right. You call the police in. These are the people who are law-bound to do this stuff. But they have to have irrevocable proof that that person has something on them.
Well, they got to have probable cause.
Probable cause. And the thing is, with Columbine, it would never have stopped what happened.
Oh, I'm not saying it would stop what happened. I didn't mean to imply that.
What would cause Columbine is my understanding they had a off-duty deputy sheriff sitting there as sort of guard on the front door, and they pulled their guns as they started to walk through, and he ran. Now, as a deputy sheriff, police officer, Army, Navy, Marines, if it's necessary to lay down life on the line to protect the citizenry, I so do it.
Yeah, well, that's what you're paid to do, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's if he had studied his gun, yes, he would have probably died. But he could have probably taken one or two of them out. One or both. It depends on how good of a shot he was.
Yeah, well, I'm not implying that if schools were empowered to do this, it would have stopped Columbine. All I said was that this issue has particular resonance in a state like this because of...
We want a police state in our schools, and that's basically what it'll amount to.
Oh yeah, and that's why I am so suspicious and uncomfortable with what the Supreme Court may do. I mean, I'm in this instance. Yesterday, a lot of the audience was against me in my defense of the right of anybody to put any game they want. I thought Apple made the wrong decision in censoring something, even though it was offensive. But now I feel like I'm with the audience today, because we got a lot of calls that say, yeah, you know, schools shouldn't be allowed to do this. I feel like that's basically where I am. I mean, I think that there's a lot of ways to prevent having to use such extreme measures, absolutely. I think what the problem is that what the court is probably going to do, or what it tends to do, is use these cases. You may have a court decision where the court says, well, in this specific case, strip searching is unacceptable, and strip searching in general is unacceptable, but the opinion, which of course is used to effectively set the law, will assert broader rights of a school to search or impinge on the privacy of students. And so we're really asking a question of what are we most worried about right now? What are we most, as a society, concerned about? Are we most concerned about students' privacy? Or, let's put it this way, as a parent, are you most concerned about your kid's privacy? Or are you most concerned about another kid, you know, either selling your kid drugs, cutting your kid with a knife, punching, shooting your kid with a gun in school? It's one of these old, you know, security versus privacy debates. And, you know, I think it's, when you start thinking about it, and I'm not a parent yet, but God willing, I will be at some point in the future. You know, I'll still probably come down on the side of the privacy, but you know, it can be a little nerve-wracking to think that if the school's not, you know, doesn't have the right tools, it's hard to prevent some really dangerous stuff from getting into that school.
Well, the thing is, I have raised two children, so I know, and my feeling is this: is yes, I want to know what my kids are doing, but the biggest problem that we have today is parents don't parent.
Right.
They leave it to somebody else. The thing is, the schools, I mean, here in Colorado, how many times last year we have teachers arrested for trying to get online sex over the internet or molesting the girls of a soccer team?
Right.
I mean, this is what I'm afraid of, or even the Catholic Church and how much child molestation is going on there. You know, this is my worry too.
Right. No, I agree.
Without probable cause, no. Under no circumstances. Period.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, you're welcome.
Andrea in Colorado Springs. Andrea.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a teacher, and I know that schools have things in place that help you out. If you suspect a kid of doing something, they go to the office, you ask them to empty their backpacks, they don't have to. You ask them to empty their pockets, they don't have to. And there are police officers that work with high schools and middle schools, which is typically where a lot of this happens. You call them up, that is their job to do anything further. But it's not like you say, okay, I want to empty your backpack, go back to class. The kid's at the office. The kid has an adult with them. So there are some things in place that you can and should use as best practice, because the other thing is you put yourself personally at risk.
Who's putting themselves at risk?
As a teacher, as a school administrator.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the part, these overzealous people that go on the edge and do these things, they're not thinking about themselves. And again, to what end that you're going to have a girl humiliated because you're checking for Tylenol? Even if you were checking for heroin, you don't strip search. That's something that is a police matter. You keep them at the office. You don't let them go to the bathroom and have anything disappear. That's a police matter at that point. But you keep them at the office supervised.
I mean, I definitely agree that there's ways to avoid the most extreme tactics. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a clear, I think, based on what we know, it's pretty egregious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess the... You know, the broader issue is how much privacy is a student, is a minor in a school entitled to. And I think that this question goes to something deeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes to not just at what age does your Fourth Amendment rights begin, but if a school becomes a police state, you're culturalizing kids to accept a police state, right? I mean, you're
mm-hmm.
culturalizing the next generation to accept police state-ism, if you
mm-hmm.
will. And our country, one of the things that differentiates our country in a good way from the rest of the world is that we have done a fairly decent job of protecting. I mean, there's some bad examples, there's some exceptions to this, of course,
mm-hmm.
but we've done, over our course of our history, we've done a decent job of protecting civil liberties, freedom of speech, and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that if you, especially in the post 9/11, post Columbine world,
mm-hmm.
if you begin culturalizing kids to the idea that the police state is okay, you start to take away part of what is so great and unique about America.
Absolutely. And I guess the part that I don't know how it's not factored in is, why isn't there common sense in how these issues are dealt with? A common sense, again, why would you go to such extremes of, like I said, humiliating a child? And in terms of the police state, it is fairly close as a school to what we would honor as an adult in terms of having your person investigated.
Well, the answer is, I mean, part of the reason why, if I can speculate, mm-hmm. is, like, you might have had an overzealous administrator in this Arizona
mm-hmm.
school, but there's always the issue of how do you, you know, I mean, I know that a coach and a team or a teachers sometimes think, how do I make an example out of somebody to send a message to the rest of the school about what is and what is not acceptable? You know, I'm not saying that was happening in this case, but obviously that's a thinking that goes into this.
It is, and I'll tell you that's bad practice. That's bad practice when you're dealing with the classroom. How do I set an example? Because you're not helping the kids to think critically. You're not helping the kids to think on a higher level.
No, you're using fear.
Them work out of fear. Now, granted, sometimes fear is important. Don't drink and drive. You should have the fear factor in that. But for the most part, yeah, it goes back to the idea. You build a system of positive. You build a system where being a good kid is not something that you don't want to be because it's you know, being a nerd. That it's the right thing to do for people because it's the right thing to do. PBS is an example of that. Positive behavior systems. Making sure that you build a culture where you're kind to each other. You're nice to each other. There was a time when I started 20 years ago where school said, we don't teach values. Well, being on time for a meeting is a value. Being kind to each other, absolutely. Schools need to do that. And then the part that happens is your parents saying, well, you know, that's not academics. If you don't build that base, academics will not occur. Kids will not feel
that's
safe
right.
to take risks. They will not be able to try something new because they're working a fear of failure. And nothing freezes you more than fear of failure or fear of doing the wrong thing.
That's right. Andrea, thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
735, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. The question of the hour. Where does a child's Fourth Amendment rights, their rights to be protected against unreasonable search and seizure, where does that begin and end? The Supreme Court is considering a case to give school administrators the power to strip search kids. Do you think that's the right call? Do you think the Supreme Court should do that? I'm pretty skeptical. I don't like this idea of school administrators having to being able to strip search kids. My kid, I don't have kids, but when I do have kids, or any kid. But the argument is that school administrators need to do what they need to do in order to make schools safe. That's the argument from the other side. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. We're accident and stall free on the highways around town. We do see some stop-and-go conditions, but they are in the usual spots. Southbound 225, really heavy right now. Parker Road down to the Tech Center there at the I-25 interchange. Also southbound I-25. Going to be busy for you from 104th down to 84th again, 70 past Spear on the turnpike. A lot of traffic heading westbound now from Church Ranch around the Sheridan area. Eastbounder is going to hit some snags there from Federal on to I-25. Also some heavy traffic down on the south end of town, eastbound C-470 across Littleton, Wadsworth to Santa Fe, again from Broadway past Quebec. And also still working foggy conditions on 25 down in the Monument Hill area. Your forecast, partly sunny and breezy, looking for a high around 68 degrees. Right now, we're at 42 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses? Just ask Dale, CEO of your Denver Boulder BBB. Get the information you need before you spend money. Visit denverbbb.org. That's denverbbb.org.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10-Till-2. 10-Till-2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced, college-educated, part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10-Till-2. The time is now.
Know how windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SOLARIPS.com.
Spring, and you'll save a ton of green at The Lumber Guy. New inventories arriving every week. You'll find something for every home improvement or new building project, no matter what the size. The Lumber Guy has the best prices in the area on dimensional lumber, windows, trim, doors, and more. Visit The Lumber Guy today and start saving. They're easy to find at East 50th in Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, turn right at 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If The Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
Time for a new windshield. If only she'd called Elite Safe Light sooner. When a chip's smaller than a dollar bill, we can usually repair it by injecting our state-of-the-art resin right into the chip. A repair is quicker than a replacement, and with most insurance plans, it's free.
Just one call to 303-287-5000 takes care of everything.
Elite Repair, Elite Replace.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Where do kids' Fourth Amendment rights start and stop? That's the question that the Supreme Court is trying to deal with. Should school administrators have the right to strip search kids? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let me take one moment before we get back to the phones. I want to make a somewhat personal announcement. My book, The Uprising, an unauthorized tour of the populist revolt scaring Wall Street and Washington, is out in paperback starting today. So it was released in paperback today. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the tattered cover, or your local bookstore. So it's out today. It was, when it was a hardcover, came out less than a year ago. It made the New York Times bestseller list, scratched and clawed its way onto there. And obviously it has more relevance today than even when it first came out. It's all about populism on both the right and left, and we've been talking about that. On the right with the Tea Parties, on the left with the Obama movement. And so I encourage you to go out and pick it up. Again, the Uprising, an unauthorized tour of the populist revolt scaring Wall Street and Washington. My book is now out in paperback. I hope you go and pick it up. And I also hope you don't mind me mentioning this a couple times in this broadcast. We writers have to eat. All right, let's get back to the phones on the question of the Supreme Court. Do you think the Supreme Court should empower school administrators to strip search kids? 303-713-7600 is the number. Michelle in Lakewood, what do you think?
Absolutely not. I have two children, and I would be horrified if some... And school administrator, what does that mean? Does that mean a teacher? Does that mean a football coach or a gym teacher? Does that mean the principal? I mean, what, you know, no, I'm sorry. If a child needs to be searched, you need to call the police and you need to call the parent, and that's who needs to do it. Not, I mean, it's, no. I mean, you can search their locker. You don't even have to have their permission to search their locker.
You know, it's interesting. What's interesting about this is when you step back from it. What I'm hearing this morning is that a lot of people are more suspicious of the school apparatus than they are
What goes on? I mean, how many times when you turn on the news at night do you hear, oh, well, such and such of a principal has been arrested for, you know, being sexually inappropriate with his students?
No, no, no. I'm not taking issue with it. I'm just saying what's interesting is that people seem more suspicious of school officials and school and the school apparatus than they do of other kids that their kids are going to school with. And there's something to that. I mean, I think there's something to it. And I want to be clear. It's possible that suspicion, it's possible that we hear more about the how do I put it, the infractions of school officials more than we hear about the infractions of kids at school. Meaning, you're definitely going to hear on the news that a teacher did X, Y, and Z to a kid at school, rather than, you know, so-and-so 13-year-old was sent home for the day because they brought, you know, cocaine or marijuana to the school, right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, the media debate can distort that a little bit. But I mean, I'm with you. I'm still with you. I'm just saying that you know, our perception of the good and evil of schools can be distorted by the media debate.
As a parent, I can tell you the major part of the reason why, aside from the fact that regardless of whether or not that the person is a child, I think that they still have basic constitutional rights. And the right against unreasonable search and seizure is one of them. I mean, that's a big...
All right, but here's what I don't get.
I don't want that kind of adult having that kind of power.
Right, but why are you comfortable with the police having that power and not school officials?
Because the police have that authority over adults as well. Now, if you're a principal or whatever, and you suspect that little Johnny Smith has, you know, a bag of weed shoved down his pants, fine. Take him to the office, sit him down, don't let him go to the bathroom, don't let him go anywhere, call his parents. Obviously, you have to call the police because it's a drug offense. And let the parents do it.
I know. I guess I'm getting a little tripped up with this idea that it's okay for police to do this, but not okay for school officials. Even assuming, let's assume that school officials were trained, you know, to consider all the legal issues that the police are supposed to be trained to do. And remember, I want to put an asterisk on that. The police force, you know, God love them for protecting us. There's been a lot of, throughout over the years, a lot of questions about how well they respect constitutional rights like unreasonable search and seizure. There's been a lot of concern that police use the probable cause mantra to do whatever they want. And that's a separate but related issue. So I'm getting a little tripped up on why it's okay, why we feel it's okay for police to do this and not school officials.
Well,
see what I'm saying?
Because I'm afraid, myself personally, like you said, I don't want a school to turn into a police state.
If the school is calling the police in, if that's the way to deal with this, that you're turning the school into a police state anyway, right?
Well, you are right.
This is the issue. This is why it's a really difficult issue. I can make the case for you. Let me just play devil's advocate here. I can make the case for you that I'm suspicious. You know, if I was a person of color, and communities of color have had some problems in Denver with police using their force too much. If I was a person of color, I could make the argument to you, hey, look, I'm really uncomfortable with police searching kids at school, but I might be more comfortable with the school in my community having that power over my kid, because at least I think the teachers are actually going to be more sensitive. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is a difficult issue. This is a difficult issue.
And the school in Arizona, were the parents present when this girl was
apparently not.
Down?
No, apparently not.
When the police arrest a child, they can't even talk to the child without the presence of a parent.
And Michelle, that's I'm with you there. Like the parent has got to be notified and present.
The parent has to be present.
I agree. Michelle, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Kai in Clear Creek County. Kai.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hey, man.
So what's up?
Nothing much. I got something to say about this Fourth Amendment bull crap.
Fire away.
All right. First off, we all went to high school. We all know the fears of walking into high school knowing everyone's watching you. It's it's the invasion of privacy, the Fourth Amendment. Everyone has it. Not everybody utilizes it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And at some point, when you're strip searching a student, it crosses into a sexual harassment. It's not even a matter of security or anything.
Yeah, but why is it different for somebody strip searching somebody at a police station?
Because then you're in custody of the police.
Yeah, this is the issue I'm getting tripped up on, folks, which is, why is it okay for the police to do this and not a school official? I mean, they're both arms of the state, right? They're both working for the state.
This is true.
So this is what the school administrators are going to argue, right? They're going to argue, look, we may not be police officers, but police officers and teachers and school administrators are all officials of the state in some way, shape, or form. And the Fourth Amendment is about how the state can search and seize your property. And so school officials are saying, look, we should have the same rights in the school as the police. I don't get why it's a mitigating circumstance that the police are going to strip search your kids and not instead of school officials. I completely agree that kids are entitled to the full rights of the Fourth Amendment, that neither school officials nor police should be able to violate their Fourth Amendment. And I definitely agree that parents need to be notified if and when this happened. And I definitely agree that there are many, many ways to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish with a strip search without actually doing a strip search. In other words, there's many ways to actually protect the school without such extreme measures. But you got to admit, it is a little bit of a weird argument to say, well, I want the police to do it, but I don't. This distinction, I mean, if you train teachers properly, they should be able to have the same respect for the law as the police. And as I said, I want to make this point one more time. You know, a lot of communities of color in Colorado have problems with the police here using their probable cause and their force in too strong a way. And so I could definitely see communities of color saying, hey, look, listen, I don't want the police. I trust school administrators more than I trust the police. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Kai, thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Again, 303-713-7600. The Supreme Court trying to decide whether school administrators should have the right to strip search children at school. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, all of a sudden we have a few accidents popping up around the metro. One, two cars involved, a rollover on one of those 285 near Schaefer's Crossing. Also got a crash eastbound I-70 at Pecos. Also another one at Colorado and Alameda. And these also as well on the surface streets, 55th and Federal, 13th and Peoria, 40th and Airport Road. Back on the highways, pretty normal drive for us. Stop and go in the usual spot, southbound I-25 near downtown. Also southbound 225 and Aurora Parker Road down to the I-25 interchange. Westbound Turnpike also slamming right now, Sheridan to Wadsworth. Forecast partly sunny, heavy winds at times, calling for a high of 68 degrees. Right now we're at 43 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Independence, financial stability, integrity. That's Citywide Banks, a Colorado bank helping metro area businesses thrive for more than 45 years. Take advantage of Citywide's local lending expertise. Bank local, bank Citywide. Call or log on today, citywidebanks.com.
You know, there's never a...
You know, Memorial Day coming up, here's a thought. Let's take a break from the economy and put it in the rearview mirror with a road trip. Start by heading over to Advance Auto Parts, where they've got 5 quarts of Pennzoil or Quaker State conventional motor oil and a Purolator Premium Plus oil filter for $14.99. That's a complete oil change to get you ready to hit the road for less than $15. Whatever you're working on, Advance Auto Parts will help you keep the wheels turning.
70s, let's face it, aging is inevitable. So if you want to look younger, you have two choices, the Hollywood way or the Night Skin way. We all know the Hollywood way, surgery, injections, or chemicals, but they're risky, painful, and expensive. But now there's Night Skin, a safe, age-erasing miracle created by award-winning cosmetic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. Night Skin stimulates the growth of collagen and elastin, which is what keeps your skin looking firm and youthful. And it has pigment reducers to fade those ugly dark spots that always seem to pop up in the most revealing places. Night Skin is like getting a facial while you sleep. And best of all, Night Skin is guaranteed to make your skin look tighter, lighter, and brighter than it has in years.
To try Night Skin risk-free, dial 1-800-291-5953. That's 1-800-291-5953. Night Skin will help your skin look younger, and today you can try it completely risk-free. Dial 1-800-291-5953. That's 1-800-291-5953.
Old Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery Spring Sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
Hey, man.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
These days, small businesses have to turn on a dime to turn a profit. An intelligent office lets you do just that. As the leader in virtual officing solutions, we provide all the a la carte office and conference space, customized receptionist services, support staff, and administrative services you need at a fraction of the cost of traditional officing. So you can project a larger image with a smaller amount of money. Imagine having 24/7 access to meeting space at a prestigious address on an as-needed basis, or a trained receptionist to promptly answer calls, then screen, announce, and forward them to you without the cost of a full-time dedicated assistant. Let Intelligent Office show you how to operate professionally within a limited budget. Find the location nearest you at intelligentoffice.com.
Our offices are coast to coast, including Denver and Boulder. 303-447-9000. IntelligentOffice.com or 303-447-9000.
You know what's the hardest part of any home improvement project? Guessing how much it will cost. A lot of projects get stalled because of money questions. Tom Hartman here with a tool from AAA Home Improvements that you're going to love. It's called their online project calculator. Log on to the homepage at AAAHomeImprovements.com, then click on project calculator. Find the project you're considering and get an instant estimate of the cost. It's one more way AAA Home Improvements puts experience and quality on your side. Log on to AAAHomeImprovements.com. It's that easy to get started.
756, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Last couple calls we're going to squeeze in here on the Supreme Court case that may let schools strip search your kids. Let's go to Rick and Aurora. Rick, you're on AM 760.
Good morning. I'm personally in and out of a number of schools, either as a parent or working with the schools. And number one, most of the time, the administrators, the people that become administrators, and are there because, generally speaking, they weren't great teachers. There's such an atmosphere that the school becomes their own little world, and it's like reality leaves. And I've dealt with this over and over and over again. And, you know, I don't want these people searching my kid.
Yeah, I mean, that's most people's gut reaction is that they are more suspicious of the school than they are worried about other kids at the school in terms of the safety of their kids. And that's been a theme all morning. And, you know, I think that goes to Americans' deep distrust of government and the state. I think that's really where it is. That's why we have a Bill of Rights. Thanks for the call. All right. John and Bailey, you got about 15 seconds, so squeeze it in.
Hi, David, am I on this
job? Yeah, you got 15 seconds.
Okay, I say absolutely not. Would you let a plumber work on your electrical? You wouldn't want a school administrator administering things that a policeman should.
Well, that's, you know, That's a fair point. I just would say that I do think school administrators could be taught how to deal with this, but that's a fair point. All right, stick around. We're going to be talking about the Toyota Prius in the next hour and the downsides of it that you don't know. Stick around.
Hey, it's Tom Harbin and Kate presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface. Just a tip bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
Backed by our exclusive true warranty. So give us a call at 720-200-2700. Or click on ColoradoWindowSource.com. Or stop by our showroom on the southwest corner of County Line and Quebec in Highlands Ranch.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. How did it start and where is it going?
This is the beginning of an outbreak, and in the beginning of an outbreak, we have a lot more questions than we have answers.
Dick Thompson of the World Health Organization says the swine flu outbreak that's killed 152 people in Mexico may not become a pandemic, but it is spreading around the world.
There's an appearance of a brand new virus, a virus that's never been seen by the human immune system. WHO is very concerned.
50 cases, none fatal, have been confirmed in this country. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano expects to see more in coming weeks.
We're coordinating amongst many, many departments to make sure that should this erupt into a full-fledged pandemic, we're as prepared as we can be.
For now, at least, Napolitano sees no need to do anything more than keep an eye on airports and border crossings. CBS's John Blackstone tells us how swine flu has turned life upside down in Mexico.
Many of the riders on the subway are wearing surgical masks. People are staying away from large gatherings. When people go out here, there's often not many places to go because stores are closed, restaurants are closed, movie theaters are closed. And, of course, now many tourists are deciding not to come to Mexico.
On this side of the border, a big wildfire has broken out in North Carolina. CBS's Jim Krasula has that.
Firemen from several western North Carolina counties are battling the out-of-control wildfire on the Cherokee Indian Reservation. The blaze, which has already burned more than 1,000 acres, started with a mobile home fire, which spread to a nearby mountainside. No one has been hurt. Several hundred people have been forced from their homes.
A government report shows that women on Uncle Sam's payroll still make less than men.
For each hour a woman works, a woman is paid 7 cents less than a man who is absolutely identical to her.
Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, who chairs the Joint Economic Committee, says federal legislation is the only way to close that gap. In Detroit, UAW leaders are asking Chrysler workers to approve new concessions to keep the company from going under. Industry analyst John McElroy says Chrysler may have to file for bankruptcy protection, but he doesn't believe its demise is inevitable.
I don't think it's going to be liquidation. You know, I smell a deal coming.
Chrysler has two more days to come up with a restructuring plan to qualify for an additional $6 billion in government loans. And a source tells the Washington Post the Treasury has reached an agreement with Chrysler's creditors that may prevent the company's filing of bankruptcy. The Wall Street Journal says Bank of America and Citigroup didn't do well on a government stress test and have been told they'll probably need to raise additional capital. Analyst Gerard Cassidy says big banks won't be able to get back on their feet anytime soon.
Over time, this problem will be resolved, but it's not going to happen over 3 or 6 months. It's going to take years.
Now, this is just in. The Conference Board is reporting a big jump in consumer confidence this month. In early trading, the Dow's up 4 points. This is CBS News.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. And right now you can save $25 to $300 instantly when you buy select power tools during the Ultimate Power Deal event, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour.
My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $50 to $1,300.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. No swine flu cases yet reported in Colorado, although Dr. Don Lefkowitz of Rose Medical Center says he's convinced it's only a matter of time. Lefkowitz says he's already seen people with symptoms.
Catch them early and get a mask on them so they don't expose any of the rest of our patients or other staff.
Americans are being advised not to travel to Mexico for the time being, where some 1,600 cases are suspected and more than 150 deaths. If jokes about Montezuma's revenge were the only thing vacationers to Mexico had when they called, New Horizons Travel Vice President Jill Burge's job would be much simpler.
We are getting several calls regarding the swine flu outbreak, and we're trying to give our clients as much information as we have at our fingertips.
Some airlines are offering no fee changes on existing near-term flights. Finally, a Bailey baby decided not to wait for a calm day to enter the world. Instead, Ethan Nyland chose a swirling snowstorm in the middle of the night in his parents' SUV on Highway 285. The blizzard conditions wouldn't allow the couple to make it down to the hospital. They called for help. A couple of Jefferson County deputies showed up, and Father Jason Nyland said it was something he'll never forget. A chuckling deputy said little Ethan just shot right into his arms. Sports, the Nuggets dismantled the New Orleans Hornets 121-63. They're up 3-1 in that playoff series. And the Rockies beat the Padres 12-7, the same two teams tonight at Coors Field. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
We're starting to see some delays building on the westbound side of 36 right around Sheridan. Southbound I-25 also heavy downtown. Crews are cleaning up an accident. This is on the eastbound side of I-70 at Pecos. And there's a rollover in the foothills on 285 near Schaefer's Crossing. Two cars involved in that. One did flip over. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Is a good thing, especially at the freeway. Right now at Freeway Ford, get your choice of an 09 Focus or Ranger for just $10,900. After rebates, that's a brand new Focus or Ranger for just $10,900. Only at Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote."
You know how windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
This is the J. Marvin Show.
J. Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
J. Marvin.
This is the J. Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
807, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Turning out to be a pretty nice day in Denver. 43 degrees going up to 62. We're joined now, as promised, by Paul Knight, the writer who wrote this week's cover story of Westward, about the Prius, the much-vaunted Prius, the Prius that I have long coveted. I'm going to admit that. I've long coveted the Prius. I don't have a Prius. The Prius was not out when I bought a sedan. I'm still driving around a 2002 Saturn. We call it Silverado in my house. But the Prius, according to Paul Knight's article, has a number of downsides. The headline in the article is, Prius can take owner on a wild ride. Paul, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell us, I'm not going to ruin this scoop. You tell us what you found in reporting this story, and also tell us what got you on to writing this story.
Well, it actually happened to the wife of someone that I work with, and she told me about it, and I'd never heard of it happening before with any car. And then just after doing a little bit of initial research, realized that it had happened to other people, and there had been some pretty crazy stories, and realized that we had probably had a story. The reporting from there was just tracking down people that it had happened to.
So tell us what were the most prevalent problems with the Prius that you found?
Well, I think the main problem was the reports of this unintended acceleration where people were driving and the car would take off, or feel like it speeds up and then shuts down, or in the most extreme cases, take off, people standing on the brakes and it wouldn't stop, or the brakes just were dead and crashing.
When you talked to the company, what did they say? What was their, were they friendly? Did they give you adequate explanations? Were they evasive? What was their take?
I wouldn't really say they were evasive. They just didn't acknowledge it at all. Basically, the main response is driver error. There's a quote in the story from a spokesman that he basically says, you know, people are under stress and they have so much on their minds. You know, maybe you're driving along and the next thing you know, you're 2 miles down the road and don't remember driving. So that was, you know, the response from Toyota.
And what did you find? What did you find from the science, if you will? I mean, what did you find to debunk the idea that it's just drivers being crazy?
Well, you know, that is the one thing. There isn't an explanation for it happening. You know, what causes it, or Toyota hasn't done, as far as I know, as I could found, or that they said, any thorough investigation of it. So there isn't really an explanation. Hey, it could, there's been suggestions that there's a traction control system that when it switches off, it messes with the car's computer, or even a software glitch in the car. But as far as an absolute, this is why this is happening, that hasn't been found.
And you don't get a sense that the company is even really looking into this?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, there wasn't, in all the times that I talked to the spokesman, he was never like, we've looked into this.
They're in denial mode.
Yeah, you could say that.
We're talking to Paul Knight, the writer of Westward's cover story this week, headlined, Prius Can Take Owner on a Wild Ride. Is there any quantitative data about either how many accidents the Prius has been involved in because of this problem, or whether the Prius is more of an accident-prone car than other cars?
That hasn't been... I didn't find that anywhere. And actually, all the Prius safety reports, as far as, when they do their tests, it ranks...
They're crash tests.
Right. It does...
So basically what you're saying is that there's some concern that the Prius may be causing unduly some accidents because of this acceleration problem. Nonetheless, the Prius itself, in terms of crash tests, is unto itself structurally sound.
Right, exactly.
So how concerned, after your reporting, should people be? How much should this affect somebody's... I mean, there's a lot of people who are probably listening who are like me who covet the Prius, who
sure,
think it's
yeah,
like the greatest thing in the world, right? I mean, it's a really cool-looking car. It's It's kind of hip. It's, you know, it's just like the, it's kind of the thing right now. And
yeah, I mean, it's also, you know, a fun car to drive.
Right, and it's environmental, and it's you know, it's the car. And so, you know, a scale of 1 to 10, like how much should people be concerned about this? Is this a small concern? Is this like a really big concern? I mean, are we talking like, is this Ralph Nader and the, what was it, the Pinto? Or is this like, you know, is this like a more minor kind of thing in your estimation?
Well, on, you know, 1 to 10 maybe, you know, I'd put it at 6 or 7.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, just because of the stories that I heard, and if it would just be, you know, horrifying to, for that to happen. At the same time, there were, you know, people that it had happened to that said, yeah, it happened, and it was scary, and but I wouldn't get rid of my Prius, you know, for the world. So I think it's something to be.
Would you buy a Prius?
You know, if I think if Toyota just came out and said, yeah, we're taking this seriously, we did all these tests, and there's no way it can happen because this and this and this, or yeah, you know, it could have happened because of this, and we fixed it, then yeah, I probably would. But yeah.
So we're talking to Paul Knight, who wrote this week's cover story in Westward, "A Prius Can Take Owner on a Wild Ride." So what you're saying is that what concerns you most is not even necessarily this potential problem, but you're most concerned about that the company won't even really have a discussion about it.
Right. And, I mean, it, regardless of, you know, if there's an actual, you know, let's say there's a glitch in the software that causes it. I mean, there's been cases where people, you know, miles down the, you know, road speeding out of control and then crashing the gas stations. I mean, there's some sort of problem. I don't think it's just, you know, driver error to let that happen. So, it, you know, who knows what is causing it, but I think there's something there that needs to be looked at.
And again, it's what should concern us is that the company, sounds like in your reporting, the company is in denial mode, and it's much more comforting when a company says, all right, we're going to look into this, you know, we'll check it out, we'll run the traps, if you will, and as a reporter, what you're saying is that what we should be worried about is that if there is in fact a systemic problem, it doesn't seem like, at least from the outside, that the company is even willing to look into it.
Right, exactly. Or anything much more than driver error. If it is happening, blame the driver.
Now I gotta believe that, you know, the Prius, one of the things that makes it so cool, one of the things that is so integral to the brand is the idea that it's safe. I mean, it's practical. It's and part of practical. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. We're now finally in an era where practical is becoming cool, right? I mean, it
right.
used to be the Hummer was cool, impractical was cool. We're finally in an era where practical is cool. But one of the things that makes the Prius that's so integral to that practical brand is safety. And, you know, I got to tell you something. I read your story. I came away thinking the Prius was a lot less cool, you know, in terms of
right.
what I would buy if I had kids. What I would buy, forget if I had kids, what I would buy generally to keep me safe. Let me ask you one last question. And we're talking to Paul Knight, who wrote this week's cover story in Westward called "Prius Can Take Owner on a Wild Ride." Let me ask you this last question. In your estimation, how systemic is the problem? And by that I mean, if you had to guess, is this a problem of like, you know how you can buy I bought 5 Dell computers in my life. One was just a dud, right? It just happened to be a dud. I could have bought the same exact computer at the same time and I could have not gotten a dud. So my question is, in your estimation, if you can make it, is this a general manufacturing system-wide software problem, or is this like a lemon problem?
I would say it's more of a lemon problem, would be my guess, my estimation. It hasn't been, I think if it was just a more of a manufacturing problem. There'd be more cases. You'd hear a lot more about it. I mean, there's quite a few cases out there, but you know, compared to the number of Priuses on the road, it's fairly small.
Right. So this isn't characteristic. Okay. Then I got to do one follow up question.
Okay.
When people bring in their Prius with complaints of this or an accident happens,
mm-hmm.
do they get it? Is there something that gets fixed, or does the mechanic say, I don't know what you're talking about? I mean, what actually happens?
There's been different reports, or I think every case is different. There was one woman who brought it in and said, oh, yeah, the mechanic was like, yeah, this happens. We can do a software update and fix it. And that was on an earlier model car, and they actually upgraded the software. And it didn't happen after that. Another case was, actually in two cases, the explanation was you were running low on gas and that somehow caused it to happen, which.
Really wow. So it's the diagnosis has been sort of multiple problems. It's not like everybody who brings it in is like, oh, it's the software or oh,
right.
It's the gas thing. Wow. That really does make it a difficult thing to try to diagnose on a system-wide basis.
Right, I agree.
Paul Knight, he has this week's cover story in Westward about the Prius. If you're like me, you think the Prius is pretty cool, or maybe you even own a Prius, and I encourage you to read it. It'll certainly raise some questions. I appreciate Paul. I appreciate your sort of your tone about this, that it's disturbing. It's not Ralph Nader and the Pinto. It's not an exploding car. But I also really appreciate your point about what's more concerning is not necessarily the problem, because it sounds like, as you said, it's on sort of a pretty infrequent lemon kind of basis, and every product has lemons. You know, I don't care what kind of product you're talking about. But what's disturbing about it is that it sounds like the company itself doesn't want to really look into this, or doesn't want to acknowledge that it may look into that, and that definitely raises some red flags. Paul Knight of Westward, and I guess you write for the Houston Press as well.
Correct.
Thank you very much for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That was Paul Knight updating us on his cover story in Westward about the Prius. I encourage you all to go read it, and I certainly hope that Toyota looks into this and sees if it can correct this. It sounds like this is a fairly easy to correct problem with this quick, unexpected acceleration that people have been complaining about. I just hope the company gets out of denial mode. It's the worst. That's the way to create a scandal in politics and in business is to deny that the cover up is always worse than the problem. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm going to give you a news update after the break. Do a rundown of the stories you may not have heard about. Stories flying under the swine flu radar. Also, a couple swine flu stories. So stick around, and then we'll get back to the phones. Here at 8:21 on AM 760 Progressive Talk, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, traffic isn't so bad for us. Starting to clear up a little bit around the freeway systems. Westbound 36 going to be a trouble spot for you. Sheridan out to Wadsworth. Stop and go conditions there. Same deal traveling across Aurora, southbound 225, Parker Road down to 25. And if you're on 25, normal jams in North Glen again, downtown. Northbound side also starting to fill up for us. Bellevue to Yale again there from the bridges to about Alameda. One crash on the freeways, eastbound I-70 at Pecos. Also got a rollover out in the foothills near Schaefer's Crossing on 285. A couple other surface street crashes, one at Alameda and Quebec. One at Colorado and Alameda, and finally 38th and Tennyson. Your forecast, partly sunny, going to be breezy too, highs in the upper 60s. Right now, 43 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Colorado Pass is on sale for last spring's low price of only $439.
Now at the Home Depot, get 2 6-inch annuals for just $3. These are vibrant, attractive flowers carefully chosen to thrive in your region at a fraction of their usual price. Use the cash you save to buy another armful of color without digging deeper into your budget. 2 6-inch annuals, now just $3. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 3rd, U.S. only, while supplies last. Limit 10 per customer.
Hi, this is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery Spring Sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
Swiss water decaffeination process for decaf coffee without compromise. Look for Allegro Coffee Decaf with a Swiss water seal at Whole Foods Market.
Come to Jared and experience the legend of Levion.
That's Jared!
The design and craftsmanship of Levion jewelry, including the delicious new trends, Levion chocolate diamonds, Levion chocolate cultured South Sea pearls, and raspberry rhodolite garnets in strawberry gold, must be seen to be appreciated. Visit Jared to understand why Levion has devoted collectors the world over.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. And right now you can save $25 to $300 instantly when you buy select power tools during the Ultimate Power Deal event, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Tom Hartman.
What constitutes torture and what are the effects on everyone involved? Dr. Darius Rejali, one of the foremost experts on government interrogation and torture in the world, will be here for an in-depth conversation. Plus, former Nixon-era White House counsel John Dean will be here to weigh in on why the torture issue is worse than Watergate. And, of course, the best of the rest of the news and your calls.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, 1 to 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
825, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760, Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number, but don't call yet. Let me give you a news update. We'll do national, then we'll do local, then we'll do news of the weird, then we'll hit the phones. That's the plan. National news. Fox News will be the only network not covering President Obama's press conference this week to go over and review and take questions about his first 100 days. Fox News, whenever you think they can go, they've gone as low as they could possibly go, they go lower. So they're not even going to cover the president's press conference. Wall Street Journal reports that Republicans and Democrats are sparring, as usual, bickering about the pandemic flu, and Democrats, I think, are making a good point in this article. They tried to better fund pandemic prevention in the stimulus, and Republicans opposed them. And now Republicans are trying to pretend that they didn't in light of the swine flu outbreak. On Alternet, this is a really sad story. Soaring rate of abandoned animals are the latest sign of a deep economic crisis. Beginning last year and well into 2009, a disturbing trend has emerged. Local news outlets across the country are reporting on an increase in the abandonment of dogs, cats, and other animals, and also be an increase in them, in those dogs, cats, and domestic animals being found abandoned inside and outside of shuttered homes. It's really a bummer. Bloomberg News reports that Goldman Sachs, which has benefited from tens of billions of dollars in taxpayer money, both through its own bailout and through the AIG bailout. Remember, Goldman Sachs owned a big was insured. Its losses were insured by a big chunk of AIG, so the AIG bailout helped Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs has increased its trading bets at the fastest clip in years. So it's actually increasing its speculation. And this is, I mean, this is in part because the government hasn't passed any new financial regulations. Remember, I keep telling folks, you know, as awful as the financial meltdown was, the casino is still open because the Obama administration and the Congress have not passed any new regulations. Florida is a state that is one of the states controlled by Republicans that is trying to make a stand against the stimulus, actually refusing to take potentially $440 million in federal stimulus money. Cutting off the nose to spite the face. New study from Ohio State University. This is hilarious. I mean, this is hilarious. Conservatives, in many cases, don't know that Stephen Colbert is joking on his show. The study reports that conservatives are more likely to report that they believe Colbert is pretending to be joking and genuinely means what he says. Colbert, of course, postures as a conservative blowhard, and the whole act is to make fun of conservative blowhards, but apparently many conservatives out there don't get the joke. I mean, you got to be an idiot to not get the joke. Really, you have to be an idiot. Business news. The United Auto Workers Union, as a trade-off for wage and health care concessions, may end up owning 55% of Chrysler after the company restructures itself. And that's a silver lining, and that's good news. Workers actually having an ownership stake in their company. Sounds good to me. Bad news in the auto industry is that Pontiac, according to GM, will be no more. They're ending the Pontiac line. Interesting story here from one of my favorite bloggers, Digby. George W. Bush's Justice Department said subjecting a person to waterboarding was not a crime and didn't even cause pain, but Ronald Reagan's Justice Department thought otherwise, once prosecuting a Texas sheriff and three deputies for using the practice to get confessions. Senator Rick Santorum, former senator from Pennsylvania, the Republican, is among many conservative activists complaining that Senate Democrats are planning to use a procedure called reconciliation to circumvent a potential filibuster of health care reform. Santorum said that reconciliation has never been done before. I think progress tells us that reconciliation, of course, has been used nearly 20 times since 1980, including a time when Santorum himself tried to use it to ram welfare reform through the Senate. So double standards. Apparently, nobody cares about double standards, at least in conservative Washington, D.C. My friends at Public Citizen, the watchdog group, report that California's Air Resources Board is voting to strengthen its alternative fuels and environmental policies, but that effort may be thwarted by international corporations that are empowered to sue the state under NAFTA. That's right. NAFTA, this supposedly wonderful free trade, quote-unquote free trade deal, has a bunch of protectionist provisions in it to allow corporations to sue state governments when state governments strengthen their public interest laws. Doesn't sound like free trade to me. In local news, state senate okays a bill to force anybody arrested in a felony, arrested, not convicted, arrested, to submit a DNA sample to be put on file in a giant database in our state. This is a real problem. This is your information is going to be put into this database whether you're guilty or not. That's, and creating this database, who knows what kind of abuse. It's a really, really serious civil liberties issue here. Better news, the Colorado Senate also initially approves a proposal that would let workers collect unemployment benefits if their employer locks them out during a labor dispute. So when sometimes companies, when you're a worker and you ask for a raise, sometimes a company will lock you out of your job. And so this bill would say if that happens, you get unemployment benefits. That used to be the law in this state until 1999. When right-wing Republicans in this state created this law that barred you from getting unemployment benefits, which, of course, is a huge boon to employers, because what it says to workers is if you ask for a raise, if we lock you out, you're going to get doubly screwed because you're not going to be able to even get unemployment benefits. So Democrats are in the legislature are trying to fix that law, turn it back to where it was for many, many years, decades in this state. Unfortunately, the Denver Business Journal reports that the bill might encounter renewed resistance in the House or a veto from Governor Bill Ritter. That would be disgusting. Weld County District Attorney Ken Buck denied reports circulating that he will officially throw his hat into the ring for the U.S. Senate as a Republican candidate against Michael Bennett. The head of Colorado's Department of Public Health and Environment said Monday that he fully expects to see cases of swine flu in Colorado in the near future, so it's probably coming here. Colorado lawmakers took a major step Monday towards requiring insurance companies to cover the assessment, diagnosis, and treatment of autism. That's very good news. A growing chorus of Colorado and national sportsmen and conservation groups, according to the Colorado Independent, are calling on U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to suspend work on the controversial Colorado roadless rule or pull the plug on it altogether in favor of a strong national rule. 8:34, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to get back to the phones after the break. Dan, Patty, and Bob, hang on. We'll get to your calls after the break. Let's get a traffic update from John Turk.
Thank you, David. The freeway system starting to clear up for us as we're wrapping up the morning commute. Still seeing stop and go, though, on 25 as you're getting in downtown after 48th Avenue. Going to break loose there after Spear, northbound side. Also a little busy there in the tech center. Basically, Bellevue to Yale, again, from Lincoln to Alameda. A few surface street situations. Medical emergency on the ramp from westbound 6th Avenue to Sheridan. Got a two-vehicle accident, Alameda and Quebec. Also one at 38th and Tennyson. Working a two-vehicle crash, Colorado and Alameda. And also got this rollover messing things up near Conifer at Schaefer's Crossing on 285. Your forecast, partly sunny and breezy, highs in the upper 60s. Right now, 43 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This message only lasts 15 seconds. That's not long, but it is long enough for a great motorcycle ride to go really, really bad. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com.
There's a lot of Americans out there who are worried about how much...
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream Sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds only depend on number of entries. Since May 16th, each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
These days, small businesses have to turn on a dime to turn a profit. An intelligent office lets you do just that. As the leader in virtual officing solutions, we provide all the a la carte office and conference space, customized receptionist services, support staff, and administrative services you need at a fraction of the cost of traditional officing. So you can project a larger image with a smaller amount of money. Imagine having 24/7 access to meeting space at a prestigious address on an as-needed basis, or a trained receptionist to promptly answer calls, then screen, announce, and forward them to you without the cost of a full-time dedicated assistant. Let Intelligent Office show you how to operate professionally within a limited budget. Find the location nearest you at intelligentoffice.com.
Our offices are coast to coast, including Denver and Boulder. 303-447-9000. IntelligentOffice.com or 303-447-9000.
Dave, real quick. Yesterday we were talking about, we asked the question, was Apple right or wrong to ban the baby shaker game? And I made the point that when you get into censorship, you're opening up a Pandora's box, if you will. And I said, what happens if you want to ban somebody on the that you don't agree with wants to ban content that you think is okay? Now, I'm not saying I think this is okay, but here's an example. One of my favorite websites called GamePolitics.com is the politics of video games. An online game released more than a year ago is suddenly causing a stir in religious circles. Faith Fighter, launched in January of 2008, allows players to pit various deities against one another in Mortal Kombat-style action. The virtual combatants, I keep messing up that word, virtual combatants in the game include a depiction of Allah, a serious no-no in the Muslim faith. A British newspaper is reporting that some Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists are upset as well. And they're calling for the game to be banned off the internet. So you open up the censorship box and you don't know where it's going to take you, to use a mixed metaphor. Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Bad news on the iPhone front if you're a Verizon user like me. Saul Hansel, the New York Times tech writer who we had on yesterday, reports that Verizon's financial results released Monday underscore the fact that AT&T needs the iPhone more than Verizon does, so AT&T has more incentive to outbid its rival to keep the iPhone exclusively on AT&T's network. There had been reports that the iPhone and Verizon were thinking about creating a Verizon version of the iPhone. In Eugene, Oregon, authorities said a man accused of money laundering was tripped up because he could have used a little cleaning himself. Court records show that during his trips to a Eugene bank, a man drew attention to himself because of a foul odor to the point where a teller vomited. Customers complained and authorities investigated. Man, if you smell so much that somebody vomits upon sniffing you, you got a real problem. After an IRS investigation into a drug operation involving high-potency marijuana and hallucinogenic mushrooms, a federal grand jury indicted the man. An alderman in Chicago is upset with and trying to stop a new restaurant in his district from being named Felony Frank's. Food so good it's criminal. And home of the misdemeanor wiener are on the part of the slogans of this new restaurant. He's saying his district's got crime problems. And he doesn't like the fact that this restaurant's making light of it. But again, you get into censorship, and it leads. I think it's you open up a Pandora's box. All right, we're gonna go back to the phones. We'll open it up here for the two issues that we've discussed in the first couple hours. The first issue, the Supreme Court is going to be ruling on whether school officials should be allowed to strip search kids in the name of public safety. A case where a girl was strip searched on suspicion that she had illegal drugs. She ended up not having illegal drugs. But the question is whether school officials should be able to conduct these searches. And then we also talked to Paul Knight about his cover story in Westward about problems with the Prius. And he said he was reporting on sporadic reports that the Prius has acceleration and braking problems, where it accelerates unexpectedly too fast and then doesn't brake. His story is a good story. And so give us a call, 303-713-7600. You can weigh in on the Supreme Court case. We had a heated debate. What do you think? Do you think the school administrators should have that power to strip search kids? Where do you think the Fourth Amendment begins for a child? And then if you want to talk about the Prius, how much you like it, how much you hate it, what you think of Paul Knight's story, you can also call us, 303-713-7600. All right, we'll take these calls that have been waiting. Patty in Denver, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I wanted to talk about the strip searching in the school, and this doesn't have to be an either-or type of thing. The school has a duty to protect the students from danger, but the students have their rights, too. And if there is probable cause that a student has drugs, then call the police, call their parents, and call a lawyer. And if the parents don't have a lawyer, call a public defender and make sure that child has an advocate. And if it's a girl, make sure it's a female police officer with a search warrant.
I just want to be clear. I mean, and I brought this up at the end of the last hour. I'm not quite sure why people seem to be more comfortable with police officers than they do in this situation.
Well, simply
than they do with school administrators. Assuming, by the way, I want to be clear, assuming that school administrators and teachers are properly instructed about how to conduct this kind of thing.
Well, simply because the police are the ones that are charged with doing that, and school officials aren't.
What you're saying is then, hold on, let me stop you there. What you're saying is then, you don't really have a problem with kids being searched, strip searched. You're just saying you have a problem with who's doing the strip searching.
Well,
that, am I getting you right?
No, and the due process with it. Their parents have to be notified. Their parents have to be there. A lawyer has to be there, so they have an advocate with them. And that girl that was strip searched in front of five people, that's just a sexual assault. I mean, that simply is.
Well, I'm not going to get it. I mean, I'm not defending what happened in that specific case. I'm not. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of where people are in terms of are we against the searching,
officer,
or are we against who is searching these people?
Well, a police officer would have to get a warrant based on probable cause. So you simply can't just search any child. And if
Hold on. Probable cause has been used. Many people have complaints about how the police use probable cause, use that as a blanket excuse to do unreasonable searches and seizures. So
yes.
I'm just trying to throw out there the idea that you know, we're throwing a lot of deference to the police, or putting a lot of faith in the police, when I think there are a lot of folks out there who feel like the police have often overstepped their powers in terms of search and seizures.
Without a doubt. That's why I said that they need to get a search warrant. They need to have the child needs to have a lawyer there and have his parents there. Or her parents there.
Oh, you and I agree on that. That the idea that anybody, police, school administrators, anybody, should be able to do this kind of thing without somebody who is an advocate of the child being there is a real problem. Because you're right, when you go to a police station, when you get arrested, you have a right to legal counsel there. The school, I'll make the argument that the child is particularly vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's a closed environment.
The child needs more protection for their legal rights than an adult does, because they really can't advocate for themselves.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Sure.
We'll go to Bob in Denver. Bob.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm going to try to find a story. I haven't had a chance to find it yet, but we've had a Prius for 2 years, and this doof was 25,000 miles, and I haven't had any trouble. But I do, I mean, it does make me want to kind of think about it, because, it would be a problem, for sure. But the thing of it is, the new Prius is coming out. They're going to be getting 50, and I think eventually they're going to have one with a sunroof that runs the air conditioner. So they're trying to improve, and I hope that they would be responsible if there is a problem. But I can tell you, we certainly enjoyed the car, and it is, believe me, a much faster car than it's given credit for.
It's definitely got a lot of pep. When I drove one, I found it to be a lot faster than I thought it actually would be. So you're certainly right.
Let me tell you another thing about this thing too, because I carry my key in my pocket, and I have one of those automatic keys, and I was told by the Toyota dealership that that key is always communicating with that car when you're within a certain range of it, that they're seeking each other out. It's almost like, and I'd hate to think we'd have a HAL 9000 like they did in 2001, but I can tell you, that car does monitor and sensor the road every second that you're driving it. So, I mean, the thing of it is kind of semi-intelligent in its own strange way, and I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of got a kit quality, like from Knight Rider. It definitely does. And I've been in a Prius a bunch of times because my in-laws own one, and my mother-in-law is actually obsessed. Apparently there's this subculture of people who are obsessed with, when they drive the Prius, looking at the mileage monitor and seeing if they can beat out all of their friends in terms of miles per gallon. It's a good competition. You're trying to save energy. It definitely does have that kit-like quality. Thanks for the call. All right, we'll do one more call before the break here. Let's go to Dan in Aurora. Dan.
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
Good.
A couple of points about the strip searching to start with. The person that accused her of having something, there should have been some kind of repercussion for her. It was just another student making the accusation in the first place. And then after, if the administrators found something on her, what would they do anyways? Call the police? So what was the point of having the administrators searcher, if there was something found, they would basically call the police anyways, wouldn't they?
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true. I mean, I don't think we know all the details of that. I'm not purporting to be an expert in this case. I just know what I'm reading in the news and in the court comments from the justices. It definitely seems on the surface of it that this was a complete overreaction, a total overreaction, and that my guess is that the school is afraid that it's going to be sued for a lot of money, and so that it's trying to defend its right to do what it did, even though it's so clearly overstepped its power. Yeah, I mean that, you know, it's such a clear overreaction to do a strip search somebody for. In search of prescription ibuprofen. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, that is just way, way, way too much.
No, I agree 100%. And the only other thing I could say is if they had a weapon instead of drugs, that might be a different story.
Well, and actually one of the justices actually makes that point, says maybe there needs to be a sliding scale. Like what you're allowed to do should be contingent on what the probable cause is about. If it's about a gun or something that could do mass harm really quick, then maybe there should be some kind of sliding scale. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
You bet. Thanks.
850, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. We were talking about the Supreme Court case about whether kids should be able to be strip searched at schools if school administrators or teachers suspect they have something illegal, a gun or a knife, drugs. That's what the Supreme Court's trying to decide. And also, if you want to weigh in on the Prius, we talked to Paul Knight, who wrote the cover story in Westward about problems with the Prius. Give us a call. Let us know if you have a Prius, how you like it, whether you've had some problems with it. I certainly think it's one of the coolest cars out there, but this story definitely gave me pause. 303-713-7600.
Dave, have you seen those stories about the hybrids, the silent killers? It's not a fake story. It's honestly a story about how these hybrids are running people over that can't hear them coming.
Are you? You mean like because they're so? It's like a golf cart.
Yeah, you can't hear them. So if you're cruising around in, you know, like in a parking lot and you can't hear, you don't know, or you can't see or hear, and think.
You mean as a pedestrian?
Yeah, as a pedestrian. It's killing pedestrians. You can't see them coming or hear them.
I mean, that's kind of the fault of the driver.
You'd think so.
No, I mean, it's not the pedestrian's fault. It's never the pedestrian. It's not never.
But check out the story. I'm going to Google it and bring it into you.
Okay, all right, cool.
All right, and I will get your look at traffic. Sorry to interrupt things. Freeways starting to get back into shape. Speeds popping into the 30s and 40s there on southbound I-25 coming into downtown. Also, same deal, southbound 225 and Aurora Parker Road down to the interchange. Also, some heavier traffic westbound 36 Flatiron Circle out to McCaslin Boulevard. A few crashes to let you know about. Rollover 285 near Schaefer's Crossing in Conifer. Two vehicle accident, Tennyson and Jewel. Medical emergency on the ramp from westbound 6 to Sheridan. Also got a two-car crash, Alameda and Quebec. And if you're traveling in between Colorado Springs and Denver, foggy conditions on 25 in the Monument Hill area. It's really thick down there from what we're hearing. Your forecast, partly sunny, heavy winds at times, calling for a high of 68. Right now, we're at 47 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now you can save even more when you shop at King Soopers. They've just lowered prices on dozens of the fruits and vegetables you buy most. You'll save more on potatoes, bagged salads, carrots, oranges, and dozens more. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
The Mario Solis Marriage Show.
You said that you yourself are a trans.
Come to Jared and experience the legend of Le'Veon.
That's Jared.
The design and craftsmanship of Le'Veon jewelry, including the delicious new trends, Le'Veon chocolate diamonds, Le'Veon chocolate cultured South Sea pearls, and raspberry rhodolite garnets in strawberry gold, must be seen to be appreciated. Visit Jared to understand why Le'Veon has devoted collectors the world over.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, accelerated piano method at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
This is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $4.99 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Spring, and you'll save a ton of green at The Lumber Guy. New inventory is arriving every week. You'll find something for every home improvement or new building project, no matter what the size. The Lumber Guy has the best prices in the area on dimensional lumber, windows, trim, doors, and more. Visit The Lumber Guy today and start saving. They are easy to find at East 50th in Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, turn right at 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.com. LumberGuy.net. If the Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
Autos. Rocky's Autos has the largest selection of clean late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. Over 500 units on the lot, and they've got everything you can think of. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar. I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I mean, I bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I can tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again, I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
There's something special about neighborhood dining. The atmosphere is more relaxed and casual. The staff is attentive and friendly. Prices are affordable. And after your second visit, you become part of the family. Such is the case with Shells and Sauce, a small Italian bistro in the Congress Park neighborhood where the Pappas family has been doing business on the same block for over 25 years. The menu features a wide variety of pasta dishes, along with entrees of traditional chicken, eggplant or veal parmesan, linguine with fresh clams, balsamic glazed salmon steak, piccata of chicken, salmon or veal chop, and a grilled pork chop, as well as Marsala-style chicken or veal chop. Everything is made from scratch. They offer a full bar service and a mostly Italian wine list. Located at 2600 East 12th Avenue at Elizabeth, Shells and Sauce opens at 3 p.m. for happy hour, serving dinner every night but Monday, with brunch from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. It's a great spot for neighborhood dining, even if you don't live in the neighborhood. Call 303-377-2091.
.57, we're going to get to two calls before the top of the hour. David in Boulder. David.
Hey, man, you know, I want to make one quick point, but I really like the fact that you keep it real, man. I enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks, man.
You know, this whole issue about kids being strip searched and so on and so forth, this has been nothing new in the urban communities. Me and my friends, we talk about these things all the time, and we always say we'd be glad when it hit the suburbs, because we know once it hit the suburbs, then it becomes an issue. So I'm just sitting back here listening to everybody's input, but it's nothing new. And as I always say, if you want to enjoy the Constitution, we have to learn to respect and trust each other.
That's absolutely right, and I've tried to make that point to folks that this issue of civil liberties is not just in the schools. This has been an issue that people have been concerned about for a long time. Thanks for the call. All right, stick around. We're going to get to Robert Reich, the former labor secretary, in the 9 a.m. hour, so stick around.
You listen to AM 760, you can win a VIP meet-and-greet breakfast with Tom Hartman, along with Green Festival tickets to hear Tom speak. 5 winners and guests will enjoy an intimate breakfast at Shells and Sauce in Denver. Register now at am760.net.
There are debt cures for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call Smart Debtor right now for your free debt review. We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. The nation's highest court has ruled, but is it the end of the controversy? Let's go live to Washington and CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato on today's Supreme Court decision on the government's crackdown on broadcast expletives.
The court says it's entirely rational for the FCC to crack down on sudden fleeting utterances of words considered indecent, even a single curse word. Justice Antonin Scalia says kids mimic the behavior they observe, and that programming that contains one-word expletives will produce children who use at least one-word expletives. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen notes the justices leave open the possibility a lower court will decide the FCC policy violates free speech rights.
Which I suspect is the next path that broadcasters are going to take as they fight this.
Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
The World Health Organization has increased its swine flu alert level.
While we have raised the phase, it doesn't mean that a pandemic is inevitable.
That's the WHO's Dick Thompson, but it's clear the disease is spreading. The confirmed cases now have spread to the Middle East and the Asia-Pacific region. The U.S. has 50 confirmed cases, no deaths. So far, only Mexico, with more than 100, has experienced swine flu fatalities.
We're trying to answer a basic question of why cases in Mexico are more severe than cases outside of Mexico.
And health officials are trying to confirm what they suspect about the U.S. cases, that the flu is now spreading beyond travelers who've returned from Mexico. Two new economic snapshots that offer some hope the worst of the recession may be drawing to a close. Conference Board says its Consumer Confidence Index exceeded expectations by jumping to its highest level since November. The board's Lynn Franco says there is some reason for optimism.
We're still at historically low levels, levels not associated with strong economic growth, but it does appear at least that consumers are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index shows that while home prices in February plunged more than 18.5% over a year earlier, the pace of the decline appears to be slowing. S&P's David Blitzer.
We stopped accelerating downward, although we're still falling.
Reports quote a source who says Chrysler has worked out a deal with banks to write down the value of the debt the automaker owes them. Chrysler is working against a Thursday deadline set by the federal government to come up with a plan that includes a partnership with Fiat or else face bankruptcy. Pope Benedict has paid a visit to the region of central Italy ravaged by a deadly earthquake early this month. CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi is traveling with him.
Benedict's first stop was a village where 40 of the 300 residents were killed and the few houses not destroyed are uninhabitable. The entire church is here with me, the Pope told survivors, close to your suffering and sharing your pain for the loss of family and friends.
And checking Wall Street right now, a small rally underway. The Dow up about 20 points, the Nasdaq is ahead 6, and the S&P 500 up about a point. This is CBS News.
Ma'am, I need you to slow down and tell me exactly what you saw.
Okay, officer. Well, he had these crazy, huge eyes, and they just stared at me.
Uh-huh. About how tall?
About 3 inches high, 6 inches wide. I think he was made of money, and he just stared.
Ma'am, that was the money you could be saving with Geico.
No, it wasn't.
Did you hear this music when you saw him?
Yes!
Have a good day, ma'am.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. And right now you can save $25 to $300 instantly when you buy select power tools during the Ultimate Power Deal event, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Breaking news out of Weld County this morning as District Attorney Ken Buck makes it official.
I've decided that I am going to throw my hat in the ring for the United States Senate.
The Republican Buck says he knows he faces an uphill battle against Democratic Senator Michael Bennett.
He is the insider. He's the one that voted for the stimulus bill. He's the one that voted for the budget with 800 earmarks. He is the appointed senator. I won't call him an incumbent, but the appointed senator.
Weld County DA Ken Buck making his announcement just an hour ago that he will run for U.S. Senate. No confirmed cases of swine flu in Colorado yet. But Dr. Don Lefkowitz with Rose Medical Center says it's just a matter of time.
20 million people have been exposed in and around Mexico City, and 100 have died. That's pretty common for any flu outbreak.
Mexico has reported more than 1,600 suspected cases. Up to $14 million in federal aid is on the line, and Colorado lawmakers are again trying to tighten the state's seatbelt law. Colorado already requires drivers to buckle up, but violators can be ticketed only if they're pulled over for another traffic offense. This proposal would make not wearing a seatbelt a primary offense. Sports nuggets all over the New Orleans Hornets, 121-63. Denver's up 3-1 in that playoff series, and the Rockies beat the Padres 12-7. The same teams go tonight again at Coors Field. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Watch out for heavy pockets on the turnpike. Same deal on 225. This on the approach to Iliff, as well as on the southbound side after Dayton up towards DTC. Speeds are going to be in the 20s on the southbound side of I-25 downtown. Still pretty late to recover. There's a couple intersections that could be busy right now due to accidents, both in the cleanup stages, but may find activity. Alameda and Quebec, as well as Tennyson and Jewell. If you're traveling outside the city limits, I-70 is going to be sunny to and through the foothills on the west side of the metro. Still foggy along I-25 over Monument Hill. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Whether you rent or own your home, Shelter Insurance has options to help keep you covered. Ask about their discounts for adding car
technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buddies, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future. iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
What's going on in the right-wing media over the last couple weeks? Let's fire it up. You got it?
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Following reports of North American swine flu outbreaks, media conservatives wasted no time lashing out at Mexican immigrants. Here are syndicated radio hosts Michael Savage and Neil Bortz.
Could this be a terrorist attack through Mexico? Perfect mules for bringing this virus into America.
What better way to sneak a virus in this country than to give it to Mexicans? And, you know, then just spread a rumor that there's construction jobs available somewhere.
Well, today's most outrageous comment goes to conservative leader Rush Limbaugh, who discussed his friend's opinion that Obama's presidency is like a terrorist attack.
One guy in the group said, everybody's waiting on a second terror attack. There's not going to be a second terror attack. Somebody actually thought Obama is terrorist attack number two. Obama is the follow-up to 9/11.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
So that was the Media Matters Minute, and you can't make this stuff up. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. So this is what the swine flu is a deliberate terrorist attack, according to some on the right. It's a deliberate terrorist attack orchestrated by Mexico against the United States. I mean, you just heard that. I mean, I'm not making that up. You just heard leading voices on the right who speak to millions of people every day saying that. I mean, these people belong in an asylum. That is crazy. Joining us now is Eric Bollert of Media Matters. He's the author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for Bush. He worked for 5 years as a senior writer for Salon.com, where he wrote extensively about media and politics. And prior to that, he worked as a contributing editor for Rolling Stone. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
So tell us what trends you're seeing in the media's coverage of this whole fake 100 days
right.
holiday.
Hallmark holiday.
Right.
Well, I saw two, and I wrote about one. I mean, one of them is the sort of the huge disconnect. To me, we've seen sort of the return of the Clinton disconnect, where the Beltway press is convinced that the Democratic president is sort of either losing popularity or that people are going to turn on him. I mean, you go back to impeachment, you can almost imagine sort of the journalists sort of gathered around the fax machine waiting for the new polls, and this is going to be the one that showed that the American people actually hated Bill Clinton finally. You know, it was going to confirm what journalists had known for years, and of course, that never happened. He left the White House with all-time high approval rating. We see sort of the same disconnect with Obama and, you know, this obsession with the polls. And he's popular, but his policies aren't. Just sort of this attempt to sort of warn everyone that, you know, he's about to become really unpopular. And as we've seen with the 100-day polls, each new poll he gets sort of more popular. I mean, he's up around 70%
at this point. Right, I saw that.
And so it's just this massive disconnect. You know, the earmarks thing was going to be a big problem for him, and the AIG bonuses was going to be a big problem for him personally. Now we're seeing rumblings that the swine flu is going to be a disaster for him politically. And nothing ever comes to fruition. And the other trend that I've seen, I wrote about this week in my column, is just sort of this absolute open embrace of Trivial Pursuit. and pretending that that is journalism. You know, we just saw it over the weekend that, you know, Obama went golfing, you know, and he should have been dealing with the swine flu. You know, he gave the wrong gift to the Queen of England. Michelle Obama touched the Queen of England's bag. You know, and it's just sort of endless, and it's mindless, and it's completely unprecedented, I think. We never saw this with a new President Bush, and it's just sort of trivial pursuit in the name of news and the name of journalism.
So, and by the way, you're referring not to right-wing journalists.
This is just mainstream New York Times, Political, CNN, you name it.
Well, let me ask you this question. We're talking to Eric Bollard of Media Matters. What do you think the focus on minutia is due to? I mean, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago in the context of newspapers. You know, newspapers can't really complain that nobody's reading that their audience is declining when they're focusing on, during an economic crisis, on the Obama's dog.
That's right.
Right? I mean, so, but I wonder what you think the motivation is for that. Is it laziness? Is it, I mean, what is it?
I think laziness comes to mind. I think a lot of them think they're in the entertainment business. And we saw a perfect example of that at Obama's last primetime press conference. You remember afterwards, the complaint was he wasn't entertaining enough. This is supposed to be entertainment. As if there's some sort of history for White House press conferences being entertaining. But he was too professorial. His answers were too long. I mean, they were literally complaining there were too many facts, you know, in his answers. And he wasn't entertaining.
They see
themselves as being as part of sort of the entertainment industry. And they get really upset when people aren't entertaining enough. You know, this is a complete divorce from sort of traditional journalism and news gathering. So I think it's lazy. I think they think they're in the entertainment industry. I think this stuff, this sort of trivial process, gotcha story is easy to do. And it's fun for them to do. Yeah, the ironic part is there's been just sort of this cacophony of really big, meaty news stories in the 100 days. You know, historic legislation, lots of, you know, this economic collapse. So it's not like there hasn't been any news. It hasn't been a slow 100 news day
stretch.
It's been a conscious choice that the press has made to, again and again, just sort of glom onto Trivial Pursuit.
We're talking to Eric Bollard of Media Matters. He tracks trends in the media. Let me shift gears here for a second, put you on the spot a little bit. What do you make of this trend whereby every quote unquote serious commentator in Washington and in New York, every serious quote unquote, and I put series in quotes, political commentator, is basically saying that the president should not look into and is right to resist efforts to look into torture. Glenn Greenwald from Salon and Paul Krugman in his column has said that they believe that part of the motive is that reporters and pundits and commentators, many of them spent the post 9/11 moment justifying torture, actually cheering it on, hoping for it. John Alter was caught. He was on the Newsweek pundit, for instance, went on Keith Olbermann's show and was talking about it was ridiculous. He was actually talking about the media's complicity in this after he himself wrote a column right after 9/11 saying that torture would basically be perfectly fine.
Right.
And so Is the chorus of people who's saying that it's great that Obama doesn't want to investigate this stuff, are they acting out of self-preservation, like they're embarrassed about what they did before, or are they being like they tend to be sort of deferential to power? Are they forwarding this argument? And because what's strange about it is that these are the same people who argue for tough on crime. They say that anybody, if you're a working class person and you commit a drug crime, you need to go to jail forever. But if you're a politician and you commit a crime, you break the law, we should just look the other way. What do you think the motive is?
I think it's deferential to power, but it's Republican power. And it's deferential to this Republican narrative put forward that you don't, I always crack up when I hear this, you don't criminalize politics. I mean, that's what Republicans and Newt Gingrich have been saying on TV for days, and Karl Rove. You don't criminalize politics. And these are, of course, the people who
investigated Bill Clinton. Right.
Who wanted to impeach and who launched a $70 million criminal investigation of a previous president. So it's sort of picking up the Republican talking points. I mean, it's this age-old story, which is you don't, only loons, you know, only sort of these partisan loons would want to hold an exiting administration accountable. And again, I keep going back to the Clintons, but boy, I didn't hear very many pundits saying it would be a disaster to have hearings about the Mark Rich pardons or the Clinton gift scandal in January and February, March in 2000. Everyone thought that was perfectly normal. Of course, if the previous administration may have broke the law with these pardons, of course you have hearings. Of course you have investigations. But now it's flipped, and I would suggest, you know, legalizing torture is slightly more important than the Clinton pardons or the Clinton gifts. But when it's flipped, you know, the punditocracy, the whole media elite class, is in sort of almost this odd unity that, of course, you don't investigate. That would be retribution. That would be criminalizing politics.
We're talking to
this flip-flop is just really just...
It's incredible.
Astounding.
We're talking to Eric Bullard of Media Matters.
So when it's trivia, you investigate, of course. When it's torture, you put it behind you, and everyone
has to look forward. Right. Well, here's the question.
Because we're all in this together. We're all... one other quick point. It is sort of this, we're all in this together, and that the press feels a real camaraderie, I think, with the Bush administration executives, and they all have their hands dirty from the Iraq war stuff. And so we're all in this together, and so let's just march forward.
Let's just move on.
Only those crazy liberals would want to hold anyone accountable.
Yeah, well, and that brings up my final question, which is, let's say you accept the premise, which I don't, but let's say you accept the premise that you have to be some sort of leftist radical to want to look into, to see if any laws were broken in terms of torture. Right. Does the media treat the quote unquote extreme right differently than the quote unquote extreme left? Is there
does the
Washington media have a lot more? It seems to me they have a lot more respect for the really fringe right than for the genuine American left. The idea that the left are a bunch of shameful hippies, and that the extreme right may be extreme, but they're serious.
Right, of course. Well, let's just go back to that clip we played of Rush Limbaugh talking about how the Obama presidency represents the second wave of terrorist attacks. You know, no one in the mainstream press is going to report that. There's going to be another wave, it's inevitable, of Rush Limbaugh profiles at some point. No one will reference the fact that he talks about the President of the United States as a terrorist.
Right, but if Steve Olbermann went on MSNBC and said something like that about John McCain, it would be like everywhere.
Right. So this is it's continual and it's absolutely rigid in that the press treats the radical right as sort of serious people and just sweeps their sort of their hate rhetoric under the rug. And you're right, they don't even really address, you know, the actual left in America. And when they do, it's mostly to mock and to ridicule. Even though the rhetoric on the left, nobody would even want to match that, the stuff that Limbaugh and Glenn Beck say.
No, that's exactly right. And I want to be clear. I don't in any way believe that if you want to hold anybody accountable for whether they broke the law on issues like torture, that does not make you any kind of far leftist. That's a media premise.
That's right. That's right.
Eric Bullard of Media Matters. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time this morning.
Sure thing. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. That was Eric Bullard of Media Matters. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We'll talk about any of the issues we've been talking about this morning. The Prius, the Supreme Court case to empower school administrators to strip search kids. What do you think about that? We'll do a segment of calls after the break, and then we're going to talk to former Labor Secretary Robert Reich a great writer, a great economic thinker. He's going to give us his thoughts on how the Obama administration is doing on economic policy, and I think you'll be pretty surprised to hear what he has to say. So stick around. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic really starting to shape up for us, really loosening on 270 and 76 on those approaches into downtown. We do see some stop and go, though, on 25 southbound side, 70 past Spear Boulevard. Also a little heavy there, southbound 225, trying to get into the tech center after Parker Road. Still working one crash in the cleanup phase, Tennyson and Jewell. Also still reporting foggy conditions, pretty heavy foggy conditions on 25 around Monument. Your forecast? Partly sunny, heavy winds at times, calling for a high of 68 degrees while it's 49 in Denver currently. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SolarIps.com.
Uprising, an unauthorized tour of the populist revolt scaring Wall Street and Washington, is now out today. It's being released today in paperback. It was out in hardback in the spring, actually really the summer of 2008. Now it's out in paperback, so I hope if you didn't pick up the hardcover, you'll pick up the paperback. I think it's more relevant than it even was when it first came out. It's all about left and right populism. I predicted in the book that it would take over national politics, and I think that's basically what happened. So I hope you'll pick it up. Again, The Uprising, an unauthorized tour of the populist revolt scaring Wall Street and Washington. It's out today in paperback, so it should be in some bookstores. You can go online on Amazon, The Tattered Cover, Barnes & Noble, order it there. Check it out. I think you'll like it. And I think you'll find it I try to make it a fun read. It's not boring. I think it's not a perfect book, but I don't think it's boring. I tell a story. I traveled thousands and thousands of miles all across the country. I spent some time with the Minutemen along the Mexican border. I spent some time with Lou Dobbs. He's way out there. I spent some time with union organizers in Seattle. I was all over the place, left and right populism, and the potential upsides of it and the potential dangers of it. And I think you'll like it. On the back, I've got reviews from Matt Taibbi, Thomas Frank. Actually, for the first time, got a good establishment review. First time I got a good I couldn't believe this. The Washington Post, not exactly a huge fan of populist politics, or me in particular, wrote that The Uprising is a hard book to dislike or dismiss. The writer reports cleverly and in pleasing detail about a complex world of conflict that the journalistic throng obsessed with presidential candidates and their handlers seldom notice. Sirota may not have the establishment quaking in its Gucci's, but his always energetic, often ironic reporting certainly made the quest worthwhile. So I can't believe the Washington Post wrote that about the book. Again, they're not real fans of populism or me in particular, but hey, I'll take it. So go pick it up at your bookstore. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to, let's see, who was here first? We'll go to Susan at Fort Collins. Susan.
Hey there.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up an ethical question. I have a person that I work with that's going to Cancun for a week, and I've heard that they've had the virus down there, and then he's going to come back. He'll be here for a couple days, so he'll You know, I mean, if he picked up the flu virus, he could bring it back to, you know, where I work. And then he's going golfing with, like, 50 guys. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not in Colorado, but you don't need very many of those to get the flu virus here.
So he's going down there?
Yep.
And he hasn't gone yet?
Nope.
And he's still going to go?
Yep.
Well, I mean, they're advising not to do that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I think that's...
it's like...
I don't think it's a good idea.
Go. Yeah,
I think it's a bad idea. And actually, I should add that I think if you don't have to go and you do go,
yeah,
I think it's inconsiderate when you come back. You're putting other people's lives at risk. You're not only putting yours life, and that's why I've actually made the point when we've talked about this is that, and we talked to Governor Ritter about this. You know, he said if you're not feeling well, you know, don't go to work. Don't think you're being a trooper.
Right.
By going to work. Now I want to be clear. I know that there's a lot of people out there who, if they try to take a sick day, they'll lose wages that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people just have to go to work. But if you have the luxury of not being able to go to work, don't be a trooper. It's much more helpful to your coworkers if you don't go to work. We've got to contain this thing.
Right.
And so
that's why it's an ethical question. You know, I mean, how many people are going to just say, oh, screw that, I'm going down there?
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not a lot of people because again, you're not talking about you know, it's one thing to say, look, I'm willing to go risk myself, you know, and do cliff diving or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's just your decision. But if you're going to go and then come back, you're making a decision on behalf of other people and that's not cool.
Well, he's coming back and then he's going to go on a golf weekend with 50 people.
It's really, I mean, that's,
I just thought,
this,
wow,
this is a friend of yours?
Colorado.
Is this a friend of yours?
Yeah, I work with him. Not. No,
I mean, you need to.
Yeah, I know. I have said, but, you know, I mean, he's going to do what he's going to do.
It's,
unfortunately.
Folks, you know, don't, you know, think of other people. But you're right. It is an ethical question.
Yep.
I've given you my opinion. It sounds like it's your opinion, too.
Yep, it is. Oh, yeah.
Susan, thanks for the call.
Changes mine. Thanks. Bye.
Pete in Fort Collins. Pete.
Hey, this is David?
Yep.
David, two things. Number one, I'm going to go out and buy your book today.
Thanks.
I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to give it to my grandpa, who's about 2 months short of 100.
And feel free to call me up and email me and tell me if you like it or you hate it.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to buy it and give it to him after I get done with it, of course, because he definitely is the smartest man in the world. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about was the Prius. I was on the original R&D team that started that thing up, you know, God, back in the early 90s, late 80s, 89 or 90, something like that. And, you know, I was the guy that was the regular putz, and everybody else was engineers and all these other people and stuff, you know. But they had to have one guy that, you know, just from Joe on the street, which I'm not a Joe, but anyway, Joe on the street's position of what I would like and, you know, what I thought. Because what I did for them was quality control. You know, I had the coolest job on the planet. I drove everything that anybody made, you know, made 80 grand a year, and then I would report to Japan to Toyota for it.
Right.
Yeah, so, anyway, prior to that, I worked for Audi, and they had in their 5000s, they had a scare about, you know, those things going into reverse.
Right.
Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember this, yes.
Yeah, well, when I worked for them, and I worked on their quality control team, you know, I set off BS, you know, so... And I did this with at least 5-6 cars, different ones, used ones, and brand new ones. Used meaning, you know, 5-6-8 months old, already broken in. And so what I was...
You just jumped out on us.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're still there. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, I put a brick on there and stood behind it, and nothing ever happened. Now, I'm thinking, this is what I told John, that on the Prius, even if you feather tap that thing with your toe, it's going to, you know, it could give you whiplash. It's got that much torque.
That's right.
So that's my feeling, that it's going to be a thing of, and that's why Toyota hasn't said anything, is because, you know, they've got to check it all out to make sure that that's really what it is.
So your take is that the car is too powerful, or not too powerful, but very powerful, and people, when they you think what's going on is that people don't realize how powerful it is.
Have you ever had a 5-speed?
Yeah.
Have you ever pushed in the brake instead of the clutch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, well, look, you know, I'm not pretending to be a Prius expert, not at all. So I think, you know, we talked to Paul Knight of Westward about his story, so I'm not passing judgment here. You know, it was his take, and I think it's worth everybody reading this article. It was his take. Look, he was most concerned that the company wouldn't really talk very much about it. But I will say this, and he admitted this too, the Prius has an excellent, excellent safety record. It's been reviewed. It gets excellent, excellent reviews. And so, you know, everybody should read that article and make their own judgments. Hey, man, thanks for the call. 9:32, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Coming up after the break, a very special guest, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich. I'm a huge fan of his, read a lot of his work. He's one of the great progressive economists of our day. And we're going to be talking to him about his take on Obamanomics, how Obama's economic record has been over the last 100 days. And I think you're going to find some of what he says pretty surprising. So stick around. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Look out, Stacy. Spilled load on the highway. Looks like a truck lost some concrete, caused a four-car accident. That one, hope that guy has some good car insurance. But again, this is southbound I-25 at University. Concrete spill, four-car accident. That's going to slow things down as you're trying to get out of downtown and head into the tech center. Rest of the drive back to speed, 50s and 60s on all the major highways around town. We are working foggy conditions, though, still in the Monument Hill area. That's been around all morning. Should break loose here pretty shortly. Your forecast going to be sunny mostly until this afternoon. Breezy with highs in the upper 60s. Right now, 49 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Colorado Pass is on sale for last spring's low price of only $439. Pay only $49 down for unlimited access to Breckenridge, Keystone, A-Basin, and 10 days at Vail and Beaver Creek. Go to ColoradoPass.com for sales locations and details.
Stop all the labeling. Stop all the name-calling. The country...
Putting the magic into Urban Johnson took a lot of hard work. But the reward was worth it. Your hard work is rewarded at Rent-A-Center. Find the good stuff your family wants from Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more. No credit checks, no credit needed. And it's all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Nice to know Rent-A-Center's working hard for you.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
These days, small businesses have to turn on a dime to turn a profit. And Intelligent Office lets you do just that. As the leader in virtual officing solutions, we provide all the a la carte office and conference space, customized receptionist services, support staff, and administrative services you need at a fraction of the cost of traditional officing. So you can project a larger image with a smaller amount of money. Imagine having 24/7 access to meeting space at a prestigious address on an as-needed basis. Or a trained receptionist to promptly answer calls, then screen, announce, and forward them to you without the cost of a full-time dedicated assistant. Let Intelligent Office show you how to operate professionally within a limited budget. Find the location nearest to you at intelligentoffice.com.
Our offices are coast to coast, including Denver and Boulder. 303-447-9000. IntelligentOffice.com or 303-447-9000.
Hello, I'm your eye.
And I'm your nose. With something very important to discuss with you this allergy season.
That's right. Nels and I, we both suffer from seasonal allergy symptoms, so we want to be treated together.
That's why we want you to ask your, well, our doctor about Veramist nasal spray. Prescription Veramist fluticasone furoate is one medicine that's FDA approved to treat both seasonal nasal
and seasonal eye symptoms in patients 12 and older.
Veramist treats me when I'm runny, stuffy, itchy, and sneezing.
Plus, treats my watery, itchy red eyes. Veramist is one medicine approved to treat all that.
For best results, use once daily. Side effects may include nosebleed, nasal sores, or nasal fungal infection. Eye problems, including glaucoma or cataracts, may occur. So have regular eye exams. Results may vary. Maximum benefit may take several days. Don't spray in eyes.
Tell it, nose.
All together now.
Veramist. For our seasonal nasal and eye allergy symptoms. One for all.
To learn more, talk to your doctor. See our ad in health. Call 8669-VERAMIST or visit Veramist.com.
I had met you once before. You definitely wouldn't remember it. I was interning on Capitol Hill in 1996, and I wrote an elevator with you.
There you go. You remember? My time as a cabinet secretary. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Of course not. I was standing behind you. I said hello. I was like a little nerd. So you have written this piece on your blog, and it's robertreich.blogspot.com. It's about grading Obamanomics after the first 100 days. And I'll let you explain how you break down the grading and what your take on Obamanomics is after 100 days.
Well, I think that, first of all, we've got to realize that the president was dealt a very bad hand. I mean, this is the worst economy in three generations. So he had to do a lot, and he's done a lot. And in terms of effort and activity, I would give him an A+. On the stimulus package itself, I think it's not quite nearly what we need. It's $787 billion sounds like a lot of money, but when you consider that that's spread over 2 years and that the economy is now operating just about $1.5 trillion below its capacity this year and presumably next year as well, it doesn't really quite do the trick. It should be higher. Yeah, it should be larger. I mean, even Marty Feldstein, the conservative economist, first George Bush advisor from Harvard, said larger than $787 billion. He was talking about $800 billion. So, yes, I think it should have been larger. Maybe that's all he could have got out of Congress. I'm talking about Obama now. But I'd give him a B on that, maybe. On the stimulus package, overall, I think it is it's certainly better than nothing. But if you then go to the larger budget, the 10-year budget, there I give him an A, absolutely. This is one of the boldest and most visionary budget documents I have seen. Now, granted, it's a blueprint, but it is a very, very courageous blueprint. It talks about, and it makes room for universal health care. It makes room for and pays for a cap-and-trade system to combat global warming or climate change. It's more progressive than the tax system we now have. It really does a great deal, and it's more of a bolder blueprint than I remember any president coming out with. The only area, David, where I think that a lot of work needs to be done, which is a fancy way for a professor to say it really did do very well right now, or at least as yet, is on the bank bailout. I think that has not yet worked. Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, essentially took over from where Hank Paulson left off, and the banks are lending less money today than they did before they started getting any bailout money.
Now people can get a little bit. They can accuse you of being not you, but just the broader you of being hyperbolic if you say, well, you know, on a specific policy, Obama's not very much different than George Bush. But it empirically, in terms of the bailout and the lack of financial regulation that has yet to come out of the administration and Congress, it kind of is what George Bush was doing.
There certainly is. The Obama administration, along with Congress, they are actively working on a major overhaul of Wall Street and financial regulation. So
that's different than George Bush, right?
It's just the opposite of what George Bush was doing. On the bailout, though, the actual bank bailout, there's been a slight difference in tone and direction, but unfortunately, it is more of the same. It's throwing money at Wall Street, expecting somehow that's going to get the banks to lend more money to Main Street. It hasn't worked.
What do you attribute the lack of policy change in terms of the bailout? What does that do to? I mean, these are not stupid people. Is it because Geithner and Summers are too connected to Wall Street? Is it because, I mean, what is the reason for it?
I wouldn't personalize it. I think that the two other big options for how to handle Wall Street, either the option favored by most Republicans I've talked with, which is let them go into some form of modified bankruptcy, pay off their creditors as well as they can, go into reorganization, or the option favored by most people who call themselves progressives or liberals, which is nationalize the bank. Neither of those options is, I don't think, cautious enough, careful enough for the Obama administration. Both of those might cause a lot of financial upheaval. They would rather the banks stay essentially in the hands of private shareholders, although we are becoming a larger and larger owner as a shareholder of many of these banks. And they also are worried after Lehman Brothers and that bankruptcy of what a bankruptcy could do to these big banks. And so they're basically playing it down the middle. But unfortunately, playing it down the middle is not really working so far. Now, it may be. I mean, certainly someone could argue if they had not done what they did do, the situation would be far worse on Wall Street, and at least the Wall Street banks, some of them, are beginning to show profits, although I don't know what those profits are based on. I don't know that we can exactly trust the balance sheets that they are putting forward. But nonetheless, it's hard to prove a negative, and it may be that, in fact, things would have got much worse off. But that's the one, I don't want to dwell too much on that, David. That's the one area where I think of, in terms of Obama policymaking, economic policymaking, I'd give a failing grade, at least up to the present time, kind of a provisional F, or at least an incomplete. The other areas, I think, given how difficult the economy has been, the hand he was dealt, he's and his team have done an extraordinarily good job.
We're talking to former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, currently a public policy professor at the University of California at Berkeley. Okay, so let me propose a hypothetical to you. If I told you that at the end of a couple years we had spent some ungodly amount of money. We continued the bailout stuff. It didn't work all that well. A couple banks went bankrupt. The economy was still hurting or still struggling. Maybe an improvement a little bit from George Bush. But in the process, we had achieved some of those other things that the Obama budget had aspired to. Universal health care, serious, starting to put our country on the path to a green energy revolution, if you will. Is that kind of grand bargain? Is that something we can realistically hope for? And is it something that might actually happen? And would it be a good thing?
I think universal health care is going to happen this year.
You really
do? The stars are lined up. The decision by the Senate Budget Committee, now it hasn't been ratified yet, but the tentative decision to put healthcare, health insurance, universal health insurance on a fast track. That means not subjected to a filibuster in the Senate, almost guarantees that that will be enacted by and passed by the Senate. The House is certainly on track to pass some form of universal healthcare, and obviously the President will sign it. So that's, it seems to me, the chance of this country having that this year is very, very high.
I mean, that would be transformative.
And that would be an enormous accomplishment. I'm a veteran, a survivor, maybe you should put it, of Bill Clinton's attempt in 1994 to get that done. And that was with a Democratic Congress, but it was a disaster.
It's so interesting to hear you say that because I don't know. Those of us who've been in politics and policy for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and I've only been 10, 15 years, but those of us who've been in this game, you know, you always imagine, and I'm sure it's going to be dramatic, but you always imagine, especially after the Clinton fight over health care, it was such a long, drawn out, I mean, it was like, and you know it better than anybody, such an intense war. And now, it's not that it's not going to be a tough fight, it's going to be a really hard fight, but it almost seems like the path is so crystal clear in terms of the legislative stars aligning, if you will, that it's almost like you can't believe that the day might actually be here.
Well, the big fight, don't get too optimistic too quickly, because there is going to be a single big fight that may determine fundamentally how successful that health care bill is going to be in terms of delivering services to the American people. And that fight is going to be over whether Americans have an option of buying into, if they want to. No, this is nothing required, but whether they'll have an option of buying into a public plan in addition to the private insurance plans. A lot of Republicans and some members of Congress, and certainly the insurance industry and a lot of the healthcare, a lot of hospitals and healthcare providers, don't want to have to compete with a public plan. On the other hand, if there is not a public plan, then it's going to be very hard to have a very low-cost alternative for many people who cannot otherwise afford it. So that's going to be the biggest fight, not over healthcare in general, but over that option of a public plan. And it's going to be a big fight.
Over what? Right. Oh, so it's not whether to have healthcare. It's going to be over what that system looks like. And so that leads me to my last question. And we're talking to former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, currently a professor at Berkeley. My last question is this. If we've moved now to a situation on healthcare, for instance, where we're debating what the plan, what the system is going to look like, a universal healthcare system, and we've moved now to what green energy programs are going to look like, and we've moved now to a debate even on the issue of trade, on what a new trade policy is going to look like. You've been in this game a long time. Is it fair to say, and some people still argue that it's not fair to say, David Brooks's column in the New York Times basically said that this is not the case, but is it fair to say that the country has really shifted in a progressive direction? And if so, is that because of Obama's election? Is that because of the economic crisis or something else? Or is it a mix of all of it?
I don't think the country has shifted very much. I think the country was already there. Obama could not have been elected had the country not already shifted toward a much more progressive vision of the future. Now, most Americans don't want to pay any more taxes, obviously. Most Americans don't want a bigger government. Most Americans don't like taxing and spending. Most Americans really, when it comes to government in their lives, don't want more government. But when the question is what government can do and what you want government to do for you, healthcare, the environment, education, Social Security, and so forth, most Americans, because they've been through a very difficult time, not just the meltdown of the economy over the last year, but since the year 2000, an economy that for most people was not working, most people are really at the point of saying, we do want a larger commons, commonwealth. We want and need universal health care. We are concerned about the environment. We are concerned about our schools. We want better public schools. We've got to the point where we really do recognize that the market is not going to be the answer to all of our needs.
Well, then let me ask a follow-up. Is that at least a shift from the time when Clinton was in office?
Yes, it is a shift, David. I think, in fact, Ronald Reagan's election, Margaret Thatcher's election in England, marked a swing of the pendulum toward against government and toward markets. And people were enthralled. I mean, the stock market soared. And through most of the 1980s and most of the 1990s, with the exception of that recession in 1990-1991, most people felt themselves doing better, and most people liked the direction the country was going in. But then, beginning in 2000, 2001, things really did change. Median wages dropped for most people, if you adjust for inflation. Not only did we face the specter of a terrible foreign terrorism coming to American soil in 2001, but we also saw Enron and WorldCom and the looting by corporations by their CEOs and top executives. And then, of course, what happened on Wall Street. I think people, given the last 8 years, 9 years, have become ready for the pendulum to swing back again. I think the pendulum of public opinion has already swung.
Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich, thank you so much for talking. You've been really, all the things you've been saying, you've been a canary in a coal mine talking about this. I really mean it. You've been really a big part of all the change that's finally coming. And I'm honored that you took the time this morning. Thank you so much.
Well, it was great to talk to you. Thanks, David.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
That was former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. As you can tell, a hero of mine. I agree with almost... Well, I shouldn't say I agree with almost everything he said, but I agree with most of what he has done and said over the years on economics. He, as I mentioned, is a real canary in the coal mine, one of the few people. He was in the Clinton administration talking about these issues when it wasn't cool to talk about, and so a real honor to have him on. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Heads up, Stacy, spilled load. Southbound I-25 approaching University. That's resulted in a multi-vehicle accident. I hear four cars involved there. These backups go past Alameda. Speeds barely hitting the teens. Looks like they're in the single digits all the way back from Alameda to University. Also got a closure both directions of Highway 66 at County Road 17 in Weld County. Had a serious accident there, so that's caused that closure. We're also looking at foggy conditions on 25 near Monument. Your forecast, partly sunny, heavy winds at times, calling for a high of 68 degrees while it's currently 50 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You deserve a bank that understands what it takes to run a successful business in Colorado. Citywide Banks is a locally owned bank where the decisions affecting your business are made right here in Colorado. It's been that way since 1963. Call Citywide Banks today or visit citywidebanks.com.
Introducing TGI Friday's restaurant's new $5 sandwiches and salads. Nine irresistible new selections like the JD Chicken Sandwich or Santa Fe Chop Salad, all for just $5. And to celebrate, right now, any sandwich or salad on our menu is just $5 too. So hurry in to get yours now, because this offer is only for a limited time. Visit Fridays.com for details. Gimme more Fridays. Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 Saw Palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149.
The winner of American Idol.
You are evicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Off the Boulder Turnpike.
9:54, I'm David Sirota filling in here. Last couple minutes for Jay Marvin. I'll be here all week. Tip your waitresses. 50 degrees, going up to 62 here in Denver. What a show. This is a. I really enjoyed this show. We talked about the Supreme Court case. Should schools be able to strip search your kids? Then we talked about the potential problems with the Prius. That's the cover story of Westward, so check it out there. We talked to Eric Bollard of Media Matters about the coverage of the first 100 days, and then we just were joined by former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. So we've really covered a lot of ground here. We'll do one last call before we close it out. George in Lakewood. George, you're the last call of the day.
Oh, good morning, David.
Morning.
Well, yeah, I would love to have talked about that immigration swine flu thing a little bit, but that's beside the point. The big question I wanted to ask was, what would happen if we just let the banks fail, or rather if we just stop bailing them out, stop bailing Wall Street out? What would happen if they just fell on their face?
Well, that's the question we can't really answer, that we don't know. I mean, we can answer, but we don't know the answer to it. I think part of the problem is this, is that we've allowed the banks to become so integrated into the rest of the economy because we gutted all the regulations that confined them, that question becomes more difficult. I would say this. I would say my take is that we need some kind of nationalization. And I don't think we can just simply let them fail, because again, that means That means that all of, many of the assets in public pensions, et cetera, that we rely on are now connected to them. I think we need some kind of nationalization. I think anything that is currently too big to fail is too big to be in private hands. And that moving forward, we need to create the kinds of laws that don't allow institutions to become that big and that integrated into the economy. So that's a long answer to a short question. And I know it may not be satisfactory, but again, the issue here is that we let them become too big to fail. We let them become so integrated in our economy where now we're afraid to let them fail. And so I think the next best thing is to say, well, if you're currently too big to fail, you're too big to be in private hands. And that can at least protect taxpayers a little better. And then moving forward, we should say, we are going to reinstitute the antitrust laws, the regulations, the Glass-Steagall Act, for instance, that make sure that institutions never become that big. Financial institutions never become that big again. George, thanks for the call. All right, this has been the J. Marvin Show, and I still am David Sirota. I'll be here all week. Tomorrow on the show, check this out. Jessica Valenti, her new book, The Purity Myth, How America's Obsession with Virginity is Hurting Young Women. It's going to be pretty cool. So tune in tomorrow. We're going to get that debate on. Looks like pretty nice out there. I might be able to put my sandals on today. Get outside. Have a good one.
Did you know that virtually all replacement windows are tested and rated for energy efficiency before they are offered for sale to the public? Colorado Windows.
The tough economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10 Till 2. 10 Till 2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced, college-educated, part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 Till 2. The time is now.
Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking...